Our name is the RR Podcast. 5 years ago, we made it our mission to bring you the latest toku news in the craziest way possible. But after a plague of boring tokusatsu struck, it was up to us to save our podcast. To do this, we had to do something else. We had to discuss something else.
Welcome to our season 6 episode 42.
It's about you. It's about me. I was waiting for Kevin to finish the song.
Oh no. Dear God.
It's about hope. It's about dreams.
Oh no.
It's about friends that work together. I don't remember the song.
No. I just blocked it out. I just needed another U pun, and then I've been on a Pokemon kick, so. I listened to all the themes the other day, and I realized how much I forgot, like, anything past, like, the first Diamond and Pearl one.
That's because they were, like, terrible.
Wasn't it? Was it the? It was the first XY series that did the remix, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, and I still think they should have done that for Black and White, given what they were doing with Black and White.
Yeah, well.
With the whole Ash is dumb again. What's a Pokemon?
What's this yellow creature on my shoulder?
Check the Pokedex. Ash, that's your own Pikachu. God damn it. I'm going to catch it. It's already your... Ash.
What's my name? I'm Ash, and this is my Pikachu.
Son of a bitch.
Looks in pocket. Whose wallet is this? God damn it, Tyler.
Dad?
Tyler lost his memory, and that was the first thing he said.
Oh, man.
So, yeah. One-ups, I guess?
Yeah.
Meow. Meow.
I said, yeah, not meow. Oh. What the fuck would I meow? What's wrong with you?
Whoa, that was some serious sass. You can move past
what
the sass.
What's going on around me?
I didn't do anything.
Your mother.
Pets are the worst.
Okay.
Bella, go lay down. Go! Don't eat the cat food. You're not a cat. God damn it.
Don't you know the rules? Can't you see the hat? I am Mrs. Nesbitt.
Segregation.
That's usually what Dawson calls for.
Dogs eat the dog food and the cats eat the cat food. You don't mix this shit up.
That's going to be the next civil rights movement.
So, dogs can't eat cat food. It'll make them sick. There's extra protein in there they can't have.
It's like when you feed a vegan protein for the first time in years. They just freak out.
Yeah, well.
To any vegan listening, I just want to apologize that it's a terrible choice. Go eat a hamburger. It might save your life.
Go eat bacon. It's awesome.
What happens if someone ends up in, like, a survival situation and they try to follow Bear Grylls' rules? They can't do it because he would just, like, actually eat a bear. They can't be like, all right, I'm going to be hardcore and eat this parsley. I don't even know if parsley is, like, in the wild, but... Oh, man. Anyway, were we doing the one-ups? We totally interrupted Brian's one-ups for cat segregation.
Bella, I told you to go lay down! God damn it!
Don't make me get the hose!
I will throw this Kleenex box at you.
This has less liquid in it than usual. 0 out of 10 got ripped off.
I see you down the hall! Then lay down! Eyeing you.
Brian's like a prison guard.
I'm scared. I wouldn't want to be a
pet. He's basically Bellic.
I wouldn't want to be a pet in Brian's house.
Everyone knows Brian is Earth 1 Diaper Bellic.
So remember a couple weeks ago when I said I wasn't going to get those Pikachus that had the Pikachu print on them?
You got some?
Yes.
Yeah. Well, I changed my mind.
Oh, surprise.
So I got those because I
was can't sad on Thursday, and I went shopping to cheer myself up. So
treat yourself.
So that's the thing that happened.
Treat yourself Thursday.
I also got Fire Emblem Toad sleeves for my next Pokemon deck, even though they're not tournament legal, but I'm going to use them anyway because Toad.
Brian's a bad boy, basically.
Wait, you got Fire Emblem Toad sleeves?
No, I got Fire Emblem and Toad
sleeves. Oh, that's two separate items. I was really confused. I thought like Toad was Fire Emblem themed or something. I didn't know what was happening.
I also got Mega Man Legend. Wow, Legacy. It's like a Power Ranger toy. Legacy Collection.
Mine's in
Legends
Transit
of Tomorrow.
And a bunch of other Pokemon stuff. I got an Eevee plush. It's the next addition to my Eevee plush
penis,
collection.
Penis. I made you out of clay.
It's called the dildo, Kevin.
That's what the ancient people used for dildos.
But when you make it yourself, it's so much more meaningful.
Is it? Is it really?
It feels so much better.
I'll take your word for it.
The Aborigines called it a didgeridoo me.
High five.
Classic Aborigines.
Classic penis.
But yeah, that's basically it. I've bought a lot of Pokemon shit.
I am
same as last week.
Yeah, pretty much. I think that's going to be the same for the foreseeable future, honestly.
Brian just buys Pokemon.
I buy the entire company.
There's going to be an announcement soon. We're going to have stuff to talk about next week. I mean, I'm sure we'll talk about it on Twitter and stuff, but I mean, like, next week's show, we'll probably be talking about stuff.
Pokemon-ish. Probably Z. Unless they just go off the rails and announce the 7th gen, and then I'll just flip a shit and start coming Roy and flip tables, and
then we can have another special where we look at all the things and make fun of them, and Kiefer can have more entertainment. Then he can use that for the Best of RR Volume 17.
In all fairness, Kiefer always does entertainment.
Oh, I want to draw attention to that quick. Special shout out to Kiefer for doing that awesome compilation of Best of RR. I totally meant to say something on Twitter, but I got absorbed in school stuff. But that's just really cool that he's actually taking the time to do that.
Yeah, fuck you, Kiefer.
And it's kind of like I was telling Brian before we started that I really want to go re-listen to Bing Bong because I just love that whole episode of our idea of a professional retrospective of VR Troopers being looking at a site pictures and just making fun of them and riffing on them. Like, I want to find something else to do that with. Because I remember, like, we actually rewatched a fair bit of Beetleborgs, but I just could not drag myself through VR Troopers. I think I watched the first two or three, and then when it came time to do the retrospective, we just, like, pulled up the, like, Ranger site or whatever it was of it. That was just...
Zothma's brain became mush after a couple of episodes.
My brain was mush at birth.
Well, that's certainly true.
That woman raised me from birth! Classic Anthony Anderson. Anyway. My turn?
Don't talk to me, criminal.
I ate the whole plate. Okay, so I have a couple of stories. One of them has to start mundane. Okay, this is going to be like Kevin style, so I'll try to be faster. Okay, this one isn't terribly interesting other than it scared the shit out of me. Last Friday was like the day after we recorded. I was just sitting here getting ready to watch Sleepy Hollow, minding my own business, and there's like a banging on my door. And at first, I didn't think anything of it because there's like a loose stair outside, and every time someone walks on it, you hear a banging noise. So I didn't think it was anything. And then they kept doing it, and I was like, all right, what I always do when someone rings the door in any house, pretend I'm not here. And
hide under his bed.
Exactly. That's exactly the plan. Thank you. And then, like, I went to the kitchen and was just like, la la la, ignoring people. And then they started ringing the doorbell. I'm like, oh, fuck it. And I didn't look out the little, for lack of a less disturbing word, people. And I was thinking, this is like, remember thinking right before I opened it, like the worst fear of it being the cops. It was the cops. And they were looking for my neighbor, I guess. I don't know what for, but still, like, it scared the shit out of me. And I didn't realize that I don't know what they were called for, but I realized I inadvertently gave them up. Because, like, they said, does Tamara live here? I'm like, no. And I said, the neighbors across from me are Ron and Tammy. And then I was like, oh. Tammy's probably short for Tamara. Okay. So Also, I find it absolutely hilarious that the people who have crossed away from me's names are Ron and Tammy. Parks and Rec people will get that. So that's what happened to me there. So that was pretty funny. The other thing was yesterday, the great milk fiasco of 2016. And in the morning, my milk went bad, and I had to eat cereal Brian style without any milk, like a psycho. So I was going to go get more milk, and I was just going to go to the grocery store to get it, but I decided to stop by Walmart too. And they had a better expiration date, but I was determined to get my milk at the grocery store for some reason. And I went to the grocery store, and the milk had a worse expiration date. So I decided to go back to Walmart, which was a terrible decision, because on the way there, like, I was going through a green light, and some guy decided he wanted to turn left, even though the light was green and he didn't have the right of way. And I, like, barely missed hitting him. And then, like, we almost hit each other again, because I thought he was going to back up and let me go by. And I think he thought I was just going to let him go by, and we almost hit each other again. And then after that, I realized that my Dr. Pepper that was in my cup holder flew forward underneath my gas pedal. So then I'm like, right after, I'm watching the car coming up behind me, and they're not stopping still. And I go to hit the gas pedal, and the Dr. Pepper's stopping. I'm like, son of a bitch, how many things can go wrong within 15 seconds? And so I, like, use the other foot to kick it out from under and accelerate it off. And, like, holy shit, especially since I had that accident, like, a little over a year ago, like, the whole thing scared the shit out of me. And I was like, it was all for milk. Like, just because I wanted a milk that expired in April instead of March. And, god damn it, it was really kind of scary that I think about it. But now I have milk, and now I have the freshest cereal. But that was, like, the most exciting thing to happen to me. But at least I wasn't in the wrong. I thought for sure we were going to hit each other, though.
I was hoping that's where this was going, but then you're alive still. So.
No, the hero story, I got milk. But that's pretty much it. Everything else has been the same. I did start my Tainted anniversary playthrough with Leaf Green. I'm not very far, though. I'm just got to Cerulean City. So that's begun. And I'm playing mostly on my micro because I like the little guy. If I play during the podcast, maybe with SP because I can control the volume easier. But yeah, that's me.
Too bad the ladies don't like the little guy.
Guess they prefer ESXL.
That's right.
It's the 3D that gets them.
You're right. Let's see what's happened to me. I got my Georgia toys, which I am, like, super in love with. I got my icon set, which I'm like, these are cool. I have all 15 now. And my Necrom Ghost Change figure.
What did you wish for?
Which is a thing. I wished
for panties. Classic Oolong.
I didn't do that yet. I need to decide on a wish and make it.
I wish for dinner.
Sir, you're eating dinner already. Yeah, but I'm going to have to eat tomorrow. Could pop that shit in the micro. Boom, I'm set. Get on it, Shenron.
I was really hungry at the time.
Like, and it was funny because since my wife has a new job, I had to send my dad to the post office since nobody was here to get the box anymore. So, and the box is at my parents' house, right? So, I go to my parents' house, and I'm like, look, Kaylee, I have toys. And she got all excited. She's like, stop what she's doing to come over and see. So, I open the HRJ box. And, like, she wanted me to open it from the bottom. Like, no, that's the bottom of the box. Turn it over. No, open it here. And we, like, had an argument from which side of the box to open it from. Because she's five. And so I finally got the box open. I took everything out. And I took the scissors and I, like, cut the tape to open the Jewel Changer. And I put the box down. And I picked up Jewel King. And before I could even finish opening Jewel King, she's got, like, the cube out of the box. Like, she just pulled the whole thing apart and takes the cube. I'm like, okay, well, that's fine. So I start to take Jewel King out of the box, and as I do, she just picks up each animal one at a time and goes, this is how you do it, Daddy, and just like shows me how to turn them into animals and everything, because we just watched the episode the night before, and she's just, oh, this is a lion and this is a shark, and I'm like, oh, alright, I got that. I mean, I saw it too, but I'm like, this little kid just showed me how to do the toy without me having to even tell her, so I guess that's a good thing. It's really simple. But, like, Jewel King's just adorable. Like,
Jewel King sucks toys running out of ideas, even though they've never used this idea before, but they ran out of them.
It's so lazy, and the quality is shit. This toy has absolutely awful quality.
Those same people are going to be back bitching at the Bandai America toys if we get them. Nothing beats the Japanese original. People are the worst.
They gave the American toy separating legs, and they're just going to, like, freak out. And it was really funny, though, because, like...
It's more authentic if the legs don't separate. That's what they're going to be saying.
We're doing the Jewel King thing, and she's just looking around, she's going, where's the tiger? I'm like, the tiger's not out yet, and she got, like, really upset. And I'm like, well, here's these icons, and she's like, okay.
Hot.
Like, she's just like, I don't care. Just, like, put them on the side. I'm like, well, that's funny. Like, she just really wanted that tiger.
I want that elephant.
And I bet you do. And... I just want them all. But I really don't think I've done, like, anything else. I've just been playing all my games and getting through Victory Road. Just doing, like, post-game stuff on Black 2 and White 2. Yeah, that's been pretty much it. Nothing really exciting. Trying not to kill Dawson for being annoying.
That's pretty much just our whole friendship.
Pretty much.
Except, like, you're oddly nicer to me when we're in person. We should do that more often.
You don't want to leave your house.
Well, at least I got a new one.
I guess.
I don't want to fight the Spearow. Brian, are you starting yours on the day that the DLC comes out? Or the, not DLC.
The DLC?
You know what I mean, the virtual console?
Yeah.
You're doing that pure thing? You're not going to get pretty graphics. I thought about it, and then I remembered it's going
to
be in all...
to that point in my life.
It's going to be all black and white. I guess that's the way it always was, but it looks slightly more tinted if you played on a Game Boy Color. You can't do that. Look. I like the finer things.
Okay.
Anyway. I still love that our news last week was basically discussing, like, the logistics of a Pokemon playthrough. Like, we stopped everything for it. Although I'm considering playing, instead of doing, like, Alpha Sapphire, just doing Sapphire for... Because I feel like I just finished Omega Ruby, which I technically did, but I don't know. Pokemon, man. I like how I also inspired Kiefer to be watching Chugga Conroy's LPs. I mean, my release, like, I don't know if he's watched them before, but, like, rewatching them. It is all Brian's fault, though. He confirmed it.
I've just come to know that everything is my fault in some way.
All these kicks, my interests are seriously so spread. Like, I'm doing this, and I'm also playing Luigi's Mansion. I don't know if I remembered ever. I tracked that down, and
you randomly said it last week.
Okay, yeah. So,
like, in the middle of a completely unrelated discussion.
Like, yeah. So this week on, I got Luigi's Mansion. but. I need to pick up Cyber Sleuth again. I haven't done that in forever. Like, I really want to play it. It's just I keep getting distracted by Pokemon. I got to play this game from 2004 and this other one from 2001 urgently.
I know the feeling.
Classic me.
Oh,
Spearow.
If you hear random, like, card noises, I'm in the middle of sorting, so...
If you hear random Pokemon noises, I'm training. Anyway, on to the severe lack of nudes. I honestly can't think of hardly anything. But isn't there something you wanted to address, Brian? Was there something? Or you said... Kevin might want to talk about Walter, but you wanted to talk about something.
Walter.
He is the one who knocks.
I wanted to address the fact that last week we were talking about how Igor has a, like, half of a Mega Ulorder on his hand that can accept the Gamma icons, and he can transform to different Gamma. And so I'm like just minding my own business like a couple days ago, and all of a sudden Premium Bandai puts up that toy for pre-order already. Like it's just like, oh yeah, here's that toy from last week. So you get like they call it the Proto Mega Lorder, and it's basically just a plastic shell. It doesn't do anything. but his Gamma icon and then the Gamma icon that will allow him to change forms both have electronics, and so it's kind of like the like a Dopant memory or one of those kind of things that it'll cycle through various Gamma that he can turn into. So it's kind of neat. I don't think I'm going to get it just because I haven't pre-ordered or have any really desire to pre-order anything premium from Ghost except Urasen. That's the only thing I've pre-ordered so far.
Did Oki ever email you back? He never emailed me.
I don't remember if I ever tried to email him.
Oh, remember that was Kevin. Kevin? We just started. Kylo Ren said, you finish what you started. You have to listen to Kylo Ren. He has an 8-pack. Kylo Ren is shredded.
I can't even handle this. What was I talking about? Oh, the thing.
Mega uploader.
Mega upload.
So the only way I might get it is if I see it like cheap on Mandarake later. But
yeah, I might in that case just because I kind of want the Gamma icon, because I think that's kind of cool. But like, I don't feel like buying everything for it. And
yeah, I really don't have a huge desire for anything from that either. I just want that jacket set because I want my little display to be complete.
Yeah, that's understandable. So there's that. I thought he would want to talk about Walter, but I don't. He was fine a second ago.
Is he even? Oh, there he is. There we go.
What?
Walter.
Walter is there. He's blue and he's got wings. He took a Red Bull. And here's the thing. It's the other guy that goes with the bike and fire, because I don't know. They got weird names.
I'm still waiting for my Better Call Saul figure.
Who doesn't want a fucking airplane guy named Walter? It's like an airplane robot.
Where did you go?
Right here. I just muted it.
Oh, okay.
You just talked about icons and a black U-Lorder that does nothing that I might get. I don't know. It's because I like the icon that does all kind of different icon things. Ghost, Gamma. Word.
Icons. Buzzwords.
I couldn't think of the word. I just kept saying words until I got the right one.
SHF Ant-Man was announced.
It was. Oh, yeah. It was beautiful. Ant-Man was with a little tiny Ant-Man, and then A New Hope Luke Skywalker was announced also. Both are for July.
Something's off about Luke. Is his head. His head is really weird.
Yeah, he's not right in the head. They were all looking for him, and he was in Central City causing trouble the whole time.
Ant-Man, however, right. looks amazing.
Ant-Man, it's hard to be right in the head when your dad great. Kills kids and all the Jedi.
Bobby Newport?
Ant-Man's so pretty.
Bobby.
SHF Bobby Newport.
That's the dream.
So I don't know if I'm going to get Ant-Man. I think I will.
I love me some Ant-Man, and I like the new
Brian
suit.
Just goes, well, okay, I guess I am too.
And I already got the second Captain America figure, even though I don't need it in the slightest. Gotta get that Chris Evans head.
Why doesn't Iron Man come with a Robert Downey Jr. head?
It really should.
Because they probably cost too much money to get Robert Downey Jr.'s head.
Too busy being Robert Downey Jr. It's a full-time job. Where's my figure, Archer Jarvis? He's the best thing about Agent Carter, and everyone knows it.
Well, that's just true.
The computer.
That's just
no
vision.
Actual Jarvis.
Like, I legit thought he'd make me wanted a computer. I was confused.
Like, I want an invisible figure art. Is that so much to ask?
It's right next to his invisible Dopant.
invisible.
What's all this shit going on in my... Milo, leave her alone.
Insert He's Otis in joke.
Box. God damn it. I should have just moved my fucking computer. That would have saved me so much goddamn effort.
Oh, that's pretty much it for the news, though. It's pretty slow.
Yeah, basically, this week kind of sucked ass.
But now it's time for...
Superhero time!
Roll the finish line.
This is my line.
Line!
This is like a really shitty play.
Juoja and the Ghost.
That's what we're getting.
I don't know what to do for Juoja.
Juoja!
There we go.
Ghost.
Why didn't I think of that? God damn it.
I don't know. It's been, in the damn show.
You've been trying to pull off that Scooby-Doo thing for a few weeks, and it's just not happening.
God, why did I think of that? Now I just feel... Now I need to become a recluse like Dawson.
Why didn't I think of the thing that's constantly said in the show over and over again?
Because I'm that stupid and retarded. So yeah, Juoja was really good. I like it a lot. We got to see about him meeting the Eagle Man as a kid, and then Tusk was being all like, I'm a dick, I don't want to go with you. And then he went and made friends with him and brought him a bunch of food, and he was like, well, you brought me food, so I'm going to come stay with you.
That's brought me an apple, BFFF.
And he stays with his uncle in like this big treehouse that was, I guess, okay, and... They keep, like, pranking his uncle with their animal faces.
And they brought out bean paste at the end. I think that was bean paste.
I'm not sure what bean paste is exactly. Neither am I. What the guy had was natto, which is the fermented soybeans. Oh. But I don't know if that's the same thing as bean paste, because that is literally a bean paste. But
I liked the part where he was leading them around on leashes. I thought that was really funny.
If that fits your fetishes, that was
I just thought it was funny that, like, he was leading them around.
It was really fun.
Like
he has to leash them because they just keep running around. They're like little animals, like, for real.
For real. More like for real. Hashtag for real friends.
She's just playing in the fountain and the... Lion dude's up in a tree. Like,
I like how their civilian powers are basically just the five senses or the six senses.
How many senses do you have?
Six of them. And then, I just think that's funny. Like the idea of, like, you know, in America we usually have like the civilian powers, but like the civilian power is like super smelling or super hearing or whatever. Does anyone have super hearing?
No. Instead, just the lion's smell, really loud. Taste.
Yeah, I feel like the elephant should have super hearing just because his ears are so giant. But I don't know. I mean, the elephant's got all kinds of giant parts.
You know that's right.
But I just thought that was funny. But I'm not sure what it is. Go ahead.
I was just gonna say we got to see Juo King combined with elephant and tiger, and that was pretty cool.
It's the same. He's just wearing different pants with kneecaps on him.
Yeah.
But I'm not sure what it is, but I really dig their little treehouse base. Like, I just kind of like it. There's something about it.
It's kind of different than what we normally
get. It's
just
very fitting, and I don't know. I like the whole thing of it.
There's a giant eagle picture hanging on the wall with all Barca.
I like a lot about the show in general.
I'm being so cautious, though.
Like,
yeah, I know. I completely understand.
I like that there's no, like, overly annoying character.
Like, right now, I don't want to, like, jump the gun on saying anything, but right now I'm glad that Red, he's
not
spectacular, but he's like this really, like, even keel of, like, he's not, like, this stoic badass, like, Marvelous or something, but he's not, like, a crackhead mixed with an air horn mixed with cyanide, which is, like, their favorite character type. Like, he's just kind of a normal guy. Like,
and he's not Takaharu.
He can be sort of humorous with, like, you know, typical Japanese reactions or whatever, but... He's not obnoxious about it. He's just kind of this middle of the road, and he's also not very like selfish about his goals. Like, you know,
trying to think about things Dawson hates.
We're both right. and
he just wants to help people without being overly obnoxious about it.
Yeah, but like both Wright and Takaharu were such dicks, especially Takaharu. And think of it, I feel like Takaharu never talked about helping people. He's always just like, I'm gonna get fired up and be the last ninja, and he was like half-hearted about it.
That was basically Takaharu.
Yeah. Like... But so I don't want to like jump the gun on saying things too early. Like, he could end up being kind of boring, but at least I'm glad that right now he's not that type, because even without Takaharu, I've always disliked that character type they seem to love for their Reds, which is just loud and obnoxious and it's just the worst. So I'm glad that at the moment it appears we're not having that.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
We got a little mini flashback scene of Tusk with his dad, and he was like, Dad? Wait, that's the wrong character.
I think Tiny Tusk was adorable. But, like, I like it, like, oh, like, the uncle is the four character. It's not overly annoying. I mean, he dressed up like a seal, and... He's acting like a seal, but that was a little weird.
Everyone, I hear a seal, they walk up there, it's just the black guy.
I think that was just his furry fetish.
It's just the singer seal.
It would be funny.
Like, I agree with you, though. Like,
he just sings the Space Jam soundtrack.
I'm super cautious about everything, but I've liked these past two episodes a lot.
Oh yeah,
and, like you said too, I like these characters. None of them are being like overly obnoxious, at least at the moment. And I mean, the villains don't seem awful, but we don't know anything about them yet, other than that one just keeps teleporting down to put a coin in their little slot thing.
That sounds dirty, but
like, that's just true. But...
Like, so far, all we know is it's just a game to try and destroy Earth and kill everything. So there's nothing really like major there, but they're, you know, like, so they're not like the shadow line, but they're not just like annoyingly stupid and retarded like what we just had.
Like, I will say, like, it's too early to say much, but I feel like they do have, I wouldn't say like it feels like a huge threat, but they do have a more of a presence. I think it's because it's like that typical spaceship-based setting where you get to see the group. There's just something about it that gives the villains a little more presence. Like I said, the little dark room that the two villains and a ninja operated out of made it feel like such a small threat. And it's not like I feel like they're being overwhelmed or anything, but I at least feel the villain presence. There was just always a severe lack of that in a ninja. Like, we'll see how they shape up by the whole series, but right now at least I feel like there's something going on. Back to you.
The action scenes were really good in this episode again.
They are.
I love the final attack that they did where it kind of formed a claw of
Oh
the
yeah, that was
colors.
Really cool. Like a
that
rainbow.
That was really cool.
I was like, I couldn't figure out what they were doing. That was a claw.
I mean, the way it was situated kind of looked more like it's just a hand, but I think it was supposed to be a claw.
And I don't remember if I mentioned it last week, but nope. I really like their roll call. Like, what they say in general, but just like their final pose and the graphic looks really cool.
Yeah, it does.
It's a really pretty, like, morph and roll call and everything. Like, I don't want to say like the CG is great or anything, because I mean it's just typical Toei CG, but the effects are really good in the show so far.
Yeah,
you know what I really liked was the little cube animals running around the table.
Oh yeah, it reminds me of the Shinkenger ones, which I feel like they never did often enough. So I like that too.
That's the first thing I thought of, and I got so happy.
Like, in this one, they didn't even summon them. They just pulled them out of their back pocket.
They just pulled it out.
They just whipped out their cubes.
God. Yeah, but it was a good second episode. And I just feel like, a really good word for the show for me for the first two is it's just really charming. Like, I enjoy it. It's just, after Ninja, I'm just so cautious. Like, I don't want to be like, oh, this is so good, and then it betrays me in like 3 weeks. So I don't know. But I do hope I can keep things up the way they've been, at least. Like, I'll be happy.
Yeah, like it's not the best show. It's not a GoBusters or anything. But if it keeps, like, this level of enjoyment, at least, for the entire season, I'll be happy. I'll be like, all right, this was good. I enjoyed this. And you know, won't walk
away. It's always
hard
to tell at the beginning of Sentai. And yeah. I like that I at least have... I probably have, I guess, the same amount of questions as I did... technically is at the beginning of a ninja, but I'm more interested in some of the answers about the mythology. I think it's because it's a little bit more different than a ninja. So I like that at least, because I think it always helps me get into a toku or be somewhat invested in it when I have some sort of lingering questions. I mean, obviously it's not Gaim level or anything, but at least it's enough to keep me intrigued. For the beginning anyway.
Yeah.
We'll see. I'm watching you. Not you guys.
Well, you are watching it, so.
True.
You're not lying.
I don't think I have too much else to say.
I think that's about it. It was nice. I liked it.
That's a good episode.
Like, I'm just happy to be in a situation, like, as short as it may be, if it ends up going down the dark path of shitness.
Dark past.
But like, I'm happy to be looking forward to Sentai every week, at least at the moment.
Yeah, I was thinking that too. Like, it's not like Gaim appointment TV, but I was just thinking how, given with the premiere and then the premiere went decent, it's actually nice that I don't remember I have to watch Sentai and think, oh fuck, I have to do my homework. I'm like, oh, I have to watch that. So, I'm still waiting for it to disappoint me.
Yeah, I felt the same way. Like, it's like, Georgia's out. Cool, I get to watch it. Not like, oh, shit. This fucking show is out. Son of a bitch, I gotta watch it. Like, and like I watched the first episode, I think, like, twice or something. Because I watched it, and then I watched it with Kaylee. And then, like, we got the toys, and this was the next day after I got my toys. She was like, can we watch that show again? So what show? Like this, with the toys that we saw. That's the same episode. We don't have another new one until, like, next week. And then she got upset. Like, like, I don't think anyone was ever upset that, like, oh, there's no more ninja until next week. Like, it's just funny. I think they might have gotten an actual writer this year, so.
Not a filler writer?
Instead of, like, the filler guy that just,
I forgot who's writing this show.
I'm about to find out.
I feel like I just didn't pay enough attention.
I figured we were going to ask this question. It says Junko Kimura?
Yeah. Junk Kimura.
Like, and there's no fucking, like, Wikipedia page link, so I don't know what the fuck.
Junko Kimura? What's Kimura doing writing this?
So I don't know what else this person has done, but...
And this green whore, she is my friend.
What?
On Zoojer.
Brian just spelled it Z-O-O. You can tell by the way he said it.
It's Zoojer.
Staff. Junko Kimura. Working recent... Fuck. Especially Go-Onger, Go-Seager, Go-Kaiger, and Akiba Ranger. He's now the writer for Geo-Ger. He wrote, like, one episode of Go-Onger. I wrote Go-On vs. Geki.
Oh, well, that was pretty good.
Two Go-Seager episodes, a pretty decent handful of Go-Kaiger episodes. Mm. Most of the first season of Akiba Ranger... And then now Geo-Ger.
It's a pretty decent resume.
Yeah, yeah. The first season of Akiba Ranger was really good and funny without being, like, annoying. So.
Oh, he was the secondary writer for Wizard.
Oh.
Meh. Oh, middle of the road.
So Jewel the World's going to come in and just kind of not have anything to do ever.
But he's going to, like, catch up. It's going to be different.
It's going to be shoehorned in.
He's the one that wrote all of Beast episodes. I'm looking at this episode list and like half of these are all beast episodes. So
I like how that was a joke at first, and then it became like nope,
it became real.
It just became true.
It's like Dawson's penis. It was a joke at first, then it became real.
I wish my penis was a real boy.
Then Dawson
just took a turn. Oh.
You're the fucking worst.
Sorry.
I didn't know Dawson was small and yellow.
Like a Pikachu.
Like a Pikachu.
Oh, I just got it.
Nobody loves me.
I like how Dawson's the last one to get it.
It took me a minute. It's been a while. I'm out of practice.
Anytime anyone says the worst at anything, I don't think it's Ben 10.
I always think of John Ralphio going, the worst! Classic John Ralphio. No?
Classic
all right.
BB-8.
entertainment BB-8. alright, if there's anything else to say about... Is there anything else to say about Georgia before we move on? There we go.
No.
Alright. So, Ghostest with the Mostest?
Meh.
It was a very, I would say, average episode.
Yeah.
The whole, I think the whole device of Spectre being trapped in Necrom is like, it totally works for the story, and I think it adds to sort of the way Alan basically is jealous of his relationship with Takeru and wants to be his friend but doesn't want to admit it. But it also feels like the actor needed to go somewhere, so they Tommy'd him. Like, I'm not sure if it was a little bit of both, but like I said, I think the device works for the story, but it's just funny, like, I guess it hasn't been that long, but it feels like he's been in that Necrom
field forever. I feel like it's dragging.
And it especially seems weird that it happened within an episode of Necrom's debut, so we only really used his main suit, like, twice, and he's been having to use his side forms to transform since he's got his main form, like, latched onto Spectre, which is just really weird. Like, I don't know, it's just kind of a weird practice, especially with a new debuting writer. Like, if he'd been around a while and he's doing this, but it just, excuse me, seems kind of funny.
Saizo still hasn't gotten a clean transformation.
Nope. It's all dirtied up.
It keeps getting butt up against Boost. Like, you can't hear the audio.
It's
oh,
so
oh
obnoxious.
Yeah.
Because he's like, oh, I'm going to do the transformation. Listen for the noise. Boosto! Ghosto! God damn it, stop screaming! Every time. Now, if you listen to this bit in the music, it's really, Ghosto! Damn it, man! No wonder he hates Takeru. You keep ruining my debut songs!
That guy's a
classic Takeru. This week, they did start to bring up the whole, oh, Ganma are people too. And I was just thinking about how
he's one of those fartsy types.
I don't think this is the direction they're going, but I think it would have been interesting if they were going this direction of the Ganma being sort of more humanized. That it would have been interesting to make it like the Ganma used to be people, and like discovering which Ganma could be good and which Ganma just want to be evil or too far. Kind of like, it's like a more in-depth way of how the Invest were people. But, you know, obviously because dead people become ghosts, like, I think it's an interesting idea of, in that world, you know, when people become ghosts, they become sort of monster creature. So I think that would be an interesting way to handle it, but I don't think they're doing it.
What
it looks like we're going the traditional good... He finds a good monster and he dies next week. Bit.
What I think would be interesting is if that painting Ganma went to Dawson's nude art class.
Describe it to them like a battered highway cone. We had another old guy today, but it wasn't as battered. Okay, send more girls.
His balls were down to his knees.
Even the girls we had weren't good.
The one we had was pretty good. She was not disgusting, but we've only had the one. She came, well, I was going to say she came a couple times, but...
Not with you around.
She showed up a couple times, but We've been mostly getting guys. I think she's supposed to come back, but we seriously need another girl. It's not even funny anymore. It's like reverse. Like, I have nicknames for all of them. There's Reverse Flash, Battered Highway Cone. I don't have one for the guy yet today, and Girl, because I don't know her name, but she's the only one. It's like in that bowling episode when Ron puts Anne under Girl.
It's best not to know their name. You don't need to know the girl's name. It's not important.
Sure, your wife loves that. I still don't even know her name.
I know.
Like, hey, you.
McMuffin.
You, McMuffin. Brian was there at the wedding. That's what he said in the vows. It's you, McMuffin. I now pronounce you Manon McMuffin. Part of this balanced breakfast.
I'm sure that's actually something somewhere, like...
Probably.
Someone getting married to a McMuffin.
Oh, man. One egg McMuffin.
Probably illegal now somewhere, so...
But anyway...
Probably.
You can marry a McMuffin.
Benkei is being the ghost approval of the week. Ghost seal approval of the week.
Oh, God. Benkei with Boost's base body is ugly.
Yeah, it really...
Looks
it
like
really
a crashes. Weird sunburnt Yeti.
Yeti's magical vacation. I like how that one bitch whose name I still don't know, who's like, she's like scientifically researching the gamma stuff. Carly. I like how, yeah, that girl. I like how she is like not willing to accept that any of this is supernatural and wants to find a scientific explanation for it. But she's, like, really just easily to accept that Gamma couldn't be redeemed. Like, she's not willing to accept that they're supernatural, but she's willing to, say that they're soulless monsters. I just think it's kind of funny.
Well,
both of the side characters are written like absolute shit.
Dawson is, I don't know, I lost my thoughts. Just Dawson's a shitty person, that's all.
But yeah, because her whole bit is just the constant... the future is now thanks to science, and his bit is screaming. Like, that's all he does. He just runs around going, oh!
Tunnel!
That's all because it's true.
Like, you know, the episode wasn't terrible. Everything about most of it was average, but the whole painting effect was really, shitty. It was really dumb.
Yeah, it's Toei CGI. What part of that are you not getting?
But it wasn't even CGI. Like, they finger painted over it. Like, what are they even doing?
They just got, like, one of the kids to do MS Paint.
That's what it looked like. Like, it was a pretty dumb premise with that bit. Like, the whole beginning of the episode really dragged with that. Like, it was, like, painted on top of his head, and then...
It was dumb, yes.
I really don't have too much else to say. There's really not a lot. I mean, it was... I don't even want to call it a setup episode, really. It was just kind of... I mean, it was setting up for things, but I didn't feel like it was a cliffhanger or anything, unless it ended on a cliffhanger and I forgot it.
Not really. Next week we're supposed to, like, get more information about the king or Alan's father.
What was the other one?
There's a magistrate, too, that's supposed to be someone important.
Oh, wait, it was Adele. She just started singing hello. I'm like, what are you doing?
It's the guy that looks like the other guy.
You're so right.
It's the guy that looks like the old guy.
Much fucking, better.
The fucking... Yes. Isn't that what I said?
The magistrate's the one that looks like the sage?
I think so. I thought so. I could be wrong, but I thought so.
I didn't really pay attention to the preview.
I know there's one. They didn't show his face. I think that's why they didn't show his face. There's one person that looks like the sage, and I thought it was the magistrate. I mean, I could be wrong, but...
No, you're probably right. I mean, I figured it was either going to be like his dad
I'm usually
or
right.
the sage, so...
Dad?
Dad? Oh, fuck, god damn it.
Yes, sir.
Brian's having a hell of a day over there.
I Brian I'm here just by goes myself, and there's off, pets and everywhere, and I'm... It's a rough time.
Where's Tad? Cat!
Alright, so Dawson doesn't know her name either.
I've been faking this whole time.
She only assaulted him at Morphicon a few times. She doesn't know his name.
She assaulted all of us. She almost ripped her nipples off one time.
I know, it was frightening.
She's at a very important international business meeting.
Correct.
Classic
cat. She got on an install. Pussy.
Now it's time for...
Chase discussions with Juki.
Saran wrap that pussy.
That's what Chase was trying to do. He's trying to get that shit crushed.
So you keep from getting diseases.
I just want to say that I don't blame him in the slightest. I would saran wrap that pussy too.
You know, that's right. High five. Boom. Pussy hygiene. No, she was not disgusting. I really liked her face and everything about her. Ness. I see why Chase wanted to give into her weird ranger fetish.
Chase kept talking about himself to her, which is, you know, you don't do that. Girls don't like when you do that. Unless you're...
I feel you do that.
I don't know what you're talking about, Ryan. I don't talk about myself.
Never.
Oh, just a hunch.
You think I would just go around talking about myself like I'm some kind of important person?
Yes.
Sir, I am very disappointed in you.
Did you show him the middle?
Just a hunch.
I show off my penis. That's how I do it.
That's what he calls his medals. But,
show off my O-medals.
As silly as the premise was,
you
I actually...
You did carry them in a sack at one point.
Happening.
I carry them in my ball sack.
As silly as the premise was, I actually really enjoyed this episode more than the other ones, even though, like, the whole season's basically filler. But... at this point, at least. But I thought the premise was fun. I think it's mainly because I like Chase. It wasn't necessarily the best, but I appreciated the fact that he was using... trying to use a different accent when he was in suit.
Yeah, like, at first I didn't notice a difference.
Yeah, like, it was... That's why I say it wasn't the best, because it was super slippy. But still, like, the thought of it was appreciated.
I need your help, Fox!
Like, that was what he was doing. It's like,
hey, baby, what if you got my energy? I'm the hot shot. That means facials. Why am I Nikki? Why is Nikki giving facials? Why can't I stop this voice? Help!
In America, Mickey Mouse is earthbound. Okay. Not the game. But... Yeah, I thought the premise was good. Mainly, I liked the girl. I did like her. Like, she was appealing looking, but I just liked her in general. And apparently, she is going to be around more and be possibly more important. And I like that idea. And I think if that does end up being the case, I think she got a good introduction for that. Both with, like, that she had a little bit of exposure to, like, the ranger side of it. And also, I like when they bring up plots like these and it's not one off. Because there's so many plots like that where a ranger or somebody will either have a romantic relationship or, like, a friend or something, and then they're, like, never seen again. So if this does have payoff...
A lot.
They what?
Showed Zach's bitch a lot.
Well, yeah, but then they got rid of Zach. So that's how that went down. It was funny because Rabs was like, was Angela in season two? I'm like, Zach wasn't in season two. He got fired, and they just showed a the black of a back dude's head. Wait!
They showed the black of a back dude's head.
Oh, stop being so racist towards back people, Dawson.
Jesus.
Oh my god.
You know what I meant. And then we got Adam, and he got to be super Asian. They told him to be more Asian. Change your name and put some more tape around your eyes. Wow, I took it too far. Too far!
He had to just stand in the corner and be quiet.
Oh, man.
What were we even talking
every
about?
Every time he laughed, it'd cover his mouth.
Bottom line, I really liked girl. Girl pretty. Thanks, while that went down, Tyler was on the search for his dad yet again after getting an old-timey note from National Treasure. It looked like it was actually written on the same paper as the Declaration of Independence. Like, for real. Like, not only did this guy not send an email or a phone call, which he could have easily tracked Tyler down like that, but he wrote a letter, which is already a red flag. Pedophiles. But it was on, like, brown paper and cursive. Like, it was weird. And basically, it just amounted to... to him going down into a cave and talking to a friend of his dad's that basically said he might have died in a cave-in, and Tyler just kept saying, "Dad?" And he showed him his Energem for whatever reason. Maybe that'll be important. I don't know. I just can't wait for him to find his dad, so he'll stop talking about it, then he'll probably still won't. Best next
show. Dad, you're back. Dad. Dad, come see this, Dad.
Next week he finds Dad.
Finally.
You know who does that shit? Kaylee.
It's like a reverse Finding Nemo, but not in, like, charming in the slightest.
There's no, you know what I like? The reverse Finding Nemo.
This is probably the most important thought.
It's the reverse.
This is the most important thought I've had of this whole discussion, but I really love that you can play the Game Boy SP with one hand. It's really hard to do with the DS.
Right? Thank you. I've been saying that for years.
I just love the SP. Like, it's a great system.
It really is. But Dino Charge, what else? Oh, small little things like Tyler's penis. No. The Energem's not even, like, it's double the size. Anyway.
I'm going to tell him you,
like,
said that.
Okay, so Kendall, well, okay. Like, Kendall was basically... She's basically in the base all the time because she's not smart enough to invent CyberCam, obviously. CyberKendall.
She's also not smart enough to invent more footage of Purple Ranger.
Well, but what I get... What that makes no sense is... They film their own Megazord footage. So why don't they just put her in there? Like, they could have had Tyler be off or have her fly in on her Megazord and place her in the footage either by herself or with the other Rangers. Like, it's a totally different situation when they're using the Japanese footage, but we film our own Zord footage, and there's nothing in the Megazord's body language that tells you what Rangers are in there. So we could put Keeper in there if we wanted. So we film our own footage, so I see no reason why we can't turn the whole thing on its head and have the Purple Ranger actually use her Zord more.
Unlike that was the first thing I thought of when Tyler flew in with the Plesiozord.
Like, I thought it was Kendall.
It should have been. Like,
I was like, oh, look, it's Kendall. I think we were watching it, and then I saw, yeah, here comes Kendall, and it was like, oh, nope, Chuck Testa with another realistic mount.
It's Tyler trying to rape them all.
Chuck Testa mounting
Kendall. Hide your kids, hide your dads. Tyler's trying to find them all.
Gotta rape them all. Find your dad.
Oh my god.
Why did that turn into Pokemon?
I don't know.
Gotta catch them all, Pokemon. But yeah, like, there's no excuse. They could totally pull that off easily. And this episode... So this episode was supposed to air before last week's, is that correct?
Yes.
So that at least technically explains why they weren't addressing that Heckle and Snide are the same person. So, but I mean, but with the, even with the airing, it still makes it awkward, but they didn't address it at the end of the episode last week either. Maybe they forgot. Do we suspect that Heckle is involved with Snide? So they don't know about him in this episode technically, but it still just seems super awkward. It also seems funny.
At least he wasn't working at the cafe or anything.
That's true. That would have been even funnier. But it also seems funny because sometimes there's, like, indicators where you're watching in the wrong order. And this didn't really have that, but the whole Tyler going to see that guy about his dad thing is a pretty decent lead-in. I mean, it's not like it's going to necessarily amount to anything, but to next week since we're actually getting to that. So, like, this episode ordered...
That's probably why they ended up switching him.
Yeah, but it still just seems awkward to, like, not talk about such a big reveal. Mm-hmm. Obviously, they couldn't do it in this, but regardless... But at least in the next weeks, we're now getting into Tyler finally getting over this, probably not, and getting into the reason for Supercharge. They're calling themselves Supercharge literally out of nowhere, still. using super
can. Supercharge. Why?
Why? Exactly.
Why is this the thing that you do?
Because the bomb made us, and then we didn't decide to write it in.
Did any of the other teams besides Megaforce and Super Megaforce, obviously?
I think
so. Samurai, did Samurai change?
Samurai didn't, I don't think. Kiefer pointed it out in his review that Megaforce did because obviously it was basically new powers.
Yeah.
Samurai, I think, only did it for the mode. And I think he's right. When they did the black box, I don't think they changed their name in the roll call.
That's what I thought. I wasn't sure, though.
Yeah, I mean, they may have did it a couple times, but like I said, regardless, they did the transition better for both series. For that. I mean, I don't see why, especially since, I mean, they have Super Drive, but Tyler's the only one getting a supercharge mode in name, so it seems awkward that they would change the name, so I don't see why they feel the need to change the name with that. it would be so nice if we changed that trend next year. Like, at the minimum, I would love to change the name. Like, if we're gonna name the second season something else, make it something else in Super. But, like, the best thing would be if we could just not call it anything. Can it just be Season 2, please?
No, it's gotta be different so that the toys could be different.
Just do a do like a toy line thing only, like when they did that Beetleborgs Force thing. That really stopped the cancellation, or Ninja Steel, Galactic Battles. I don't know.
Ninja you Steel. You can win characters. The battle, Galactic Battle, Ninja Steel.
Ninja oh, Steel, God. Frontier.
It's a battle, win or lose. It's
the I love that guy's voice. The road so you nasally. Choose. You get me right, Steph. Like, he had such a nasally voice. It was really good.
Maybe Battle he Frontier. Just had sinus problems that day.
You know what, though? Battle Frontier was a solid season. It was, like, shorter. It was streamlined. The battles were cool. They brought back Pokemon. It was just cool.
The only unfortunate thing about Battle Frontier is that it fell in between that voice actor change.
Yeah.
And so everyone was like, this is shit.
Yeah, and so, it did take admittedly a bit for me to get used to it, but now Ash has been that way for so long. And I just, in my head canon, I said, Ash is aging in my canon, so his voice changed. But, like, as a season itself, it was pretty solid. Like, I hate to be one of those, oh, they bring back Pokemon stuff, but it's been running for so long, it's really nice when they acknowledge how long it's been running, with stuff like that. Like, it's like a reward for those of us that are still hanging on like a bunch of morons. One day he will become a master. I promise you.
Don't know what you have to do to get that title, but...
I don't know either. It's so loosely defined. I don't think there's too much else to say, though. But it was a...
I hope it's not catch 'em all, because he just kind of...
You see loafing on that. He's giving them all away. To their true homes. Hashtag true home.
Gotta give them all.
Gotta release them all. But yeah, I don't have much else to say about the episode of Pokemon. I did like this episode. I found it to be more entertaining. I'm terrible that I can't remember her name, but I really did like the girl.
It was Kaylee, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was Kaylee.
Oh, shit. minus 2 points, but I still like her.
Mine freaked out when I told her the chick's name was Kaylee.
I would not be mad at all if it ends up being true that she might be female Aqua.
I would be happy.
Mainly because I already hate Tyler's dad.
He's not even a thing yet, and you already hate him?
Well, when everyone was like clamoring for female Aqua, I didn't want it at first, just because I didn't mind it later, but I didn't want him to start with it. Partially because I love the fandom getting their panties in a bunch. But also because I really wanted the male Aqua figure. But now I'm like the exact opposite, where I'm like, can we just get rid of Tyler? Because Tyler's dad, let's have the reunion, boom, murder him right away, and then get Kaylee in as Aqua. But now, if that's true, we need her figure. If we're going to do Figure Arts Alfalfa, or whatever his name is, Figure Arts, a figure of Purple Alfalfa, we can get Cyan. I'd rather have female Cyan figure over Boysandra and her stupidness. She's such a good character because she's pink. Boysandra
has a vagina.
Does she, though?
Boysandra? I don't know how aliens work. Oh, fuck! We didn't even talk about the fact that Sin showed up.
Oh, yeah!
Like, he's not involved with the ship in any way. He's, like, from outer space. Sounds funny, but, like, I love the idea, and by love, I think it's funny, that he's heard about Energem activity now, but they've been around, like, millions of years. And, like, I wonder what it takes for them to hear about it, because, like, Ivan bonded with it, Coda bonded with it, and Feldo's death. God knows what happened in between. Who knows, people could have bonded with it and got killed somehow. That, like, they wouldn't hear about it for millions of years. And also, like, how bad does it make everyone on that ship? Like, I'm surprised anyone even remembers them. Like, they're probably a legend. Like, oh, that's like a story they tell their kids about, these people that disappeared on a bounty hunting expedition millions of years ago and never came back.
Harrison Ford shows up, the Energem's keeper. It's all true.
He sounds just like Batman or Dr. House. But
watch me limp around the set for the next for half hour.
Batman or House?
Han Solo?
Oh, sorry. Well, House did have a cane, so my joke's valid.
He was busy trying to catch Stuart Little.
What was I saying? Oh, yeah, but he did mention
Mouse with Parkinson's.
I think to what's his name? Guy with a mask. Dugold. His name here. What's his name?
Fury. It's Fury. The fucking easiest name ever.
Sorry.
Yeah.
I think it was him he was talking to when he said, like, you've been here for millions of years and you haven't found it. And yeah. I'm just thinking about how, like, that whole origin, I think parts of it are cool, but the millions of years thing really does put a damper on so many things. Like, the fact of how long they've been there and how old not only the main villains have to be, but the prisoners. Like, you think there would be a couple corpses. Like, it's just, that's a ridiculous amount of time.
I realize there.
I mean, there's 10,000 years, and then there's millions of years, and it's just kind of crazy when you think about it.
I don't know if Nekrala has been locked on that ship for 65 million years. How the fuck she was over there and pissing off the Mystic Force Rangers?
That's her twin sister, Pekrali.
Oh, well, that makes sense.
How am I already in the red? I swear to God, I just charged this thing.
Because you're naked.
Oh, fuck, I knew that. The instructions said to put clothes on when you play the SP.
It's easy to forget.
Yeah, I don't have too much else to say. I just wanted to bring up Sledge. I do like Singe. There we go. Wow. I'm on point tonight. Singe.
Just call him the candle guy. That's what Kaylee calls
and
him.
I do like his like voice actor and stuff. And I love how his headache thing is a total reference to Kyoryuger. They care about Sentai and the fans.
They do.
It's also a reference to MMPR.
It's a reference to everything. It's a reference to references.
Read
ahead.
It's a reference
to my daily life.
It's a reference to Tylenol.
It's a reference to Master Xandrid having headaches. Stella. And then Rick Medina stabbing someone.
I was just saving the game so that, just in case it shuts off, and I read Cerulean City and the thing is Central City.
God damn it.
That'd be a great segue if we didn't talk about Supergirl first. Speaking of, now it's time for
Ramble time.
Yeah.
That's the thing we do.
Yeah.
Well, speaking of Supergirl, Supergirl was back.
Hold up.
Wait, what do we start with first? What am I missing?
Pokemon.
Pokemon was back?
Yeah. Well, my DVR, I didn't record it because apparently they changed on the DVR to say Pokemon XYZ.
Oh, shit.
Mine didn't for whatever reason, because I, like, it dawned on me after I knew it aired. I was like, shit, I didn't set it to record, but for whatever reason, my cable company didn't update it to say XYZ, so it's still recorded, so I lucked out, but I have to keep an eye on it now.
Damn. I thought it started this week, because I must have checked it wrong. I woke up late Saturday, and like, before Power Rangers aired, I was checking the schedule for next week, and I set it to record, so I didn't. I must have missed it. I'll have to check on demand. Damn it! I missed the most important thing of our entire show.
Well, like, not even that. It was a legitimately good episode. Like,
son of a bitch.
Because it starts off the whole, like, saga with Zygarde and stuff.
Yeah.
So it introduced, like, more elements of Team Flare, and you got to see the guy from the Mega Evolution specials.
That's cool. I wanted to see all that. I want to see the new opening.
Is it theme? The new opening is very, very simple, actually.
Just like your mother.
I kind of wish they had just stuck with the remix.
At this point, I do too, just because I think that the opening that they're using right now could be cool in an extended capacity, but just the 30-second version that they got going is, like, it's just so boring. But, I don't know, you'll understand what I mean when you hear it, I guess.
I barely remember the last one, except for, like, I always remember, like, you were just... But I didn't see it first either, and I asked you to describe to me the theme, and you just said, hero, hero, hero. And then I listened to it, like, the next day. I'm like, holy shit, he was right. Oh, it's happening. So many shenanigans over at Brian's today.
Got her right in the ass.
Oh, God.
Whoa.
My hand? Your hand? Hurts, though, but...
What?
Not in her ass, but...
Brian got her right in the ass.
I smacked her butt because she was eating the cat food again.
Oh, man. What's happening? Well, I guess you guys can talk about Pokemon first, and then we'll head to National City.
Kevin sounds like he didn't watch it, so I can't.
I didn't get to see it. I didn't even fucking record it. The fuck is wrong with you?
Don't you have on demand?
Yeah, I just never haven't had time to go watch it on demand. I'm probably have to wait and do that this weekend.
I don't even know if it is on demand yet.
It probably is. You know what? I'm gonna check right now. This special training can wait.
It was good though. Like, I hope that the entire season can carry the sort of feel that it does. It's very much like the show when N joined them. Last season. Like, the only time Black and White was actually enjoyable.
Yeah.
That's what it reminds me of, and I haven't really looked at the episode titles or anything to see how long the
that's because the guy was brave enough to go around calling himself just a letter of the alphabet.
God, there's so many new ones they added. Okay, hold on.
Well, looking at his real name.
O, P, Q.
R. S.
I don't think it's on there yet. The most recent one, or 1845, says, time for Ash's Anistar gym battle has arrived.
Yeah, it was your mother.
Damn, I thought it would be up there.
No, I still gotta see the fourth Mega Evolution special. I missed that one too.
Unless it was a different category.
I'm not pissed about that.
Damn it. I hope they put it up in the next few days so that I can watch it before Saturday rolls around.
I'm looking at the Japanese episode titles, and one of them is called Ash and Serena Getting One at a Dance Party.
That's right.
So it looks like it might be, like, filler mixed in with Z-related stuff, so.
Might be just stupid. Serena trying to jump on that dick and Ash being like, what's a girl?
What's a dick?
Meanwhile, Serena's also still figuring out her life. It only took her over half the series.
Meanwhile, Serena's still trying to figure out why she still wants the dick even though she has a lesbian haircut.
Her Eevee did evolve into... to Slutvillion or whatever it's called.
Yeah, that pissed me off.
In Japan.
What'd you call it? Slution?
Yeah, that's actually better than what I said. Slution. Why would that piss you off? That was just so obvious that they were going to do that.
That's why it pisses me off. It was obvious.
Like, what else would they do? Just like a random Vaporeon?
They can do anything. They give me a new Eevee.
I don't think they would do that.
Could go with Magearna. Be just new. Give me a Dragon Eevee. Well, or you just give me something.
Okay. They're announcing something on Friday. It could be a new game. And it could be a new game that's filled with new Pokemon, and one of them might be a new Eevee, so calm your tits.
What if just a new Eevee? Just like that, the announcement.
It's just an Eevee.
Well, that pissed me off because there's already a chick in the show with a Sylveon. So I'm like, well, that just seems kind of silly.
Well, yeah, it's a gym leader.
It's not the main character. They use the main characters to showcase various Pokemon. That's why they always have the starters as part of the group.
Serena sucks.
I'm not going to argue at that one.
She's still better than Clement. Everyone that replaced Brock is just a walking slogan. God only knows what next generations is going to be. Connoisseur, the future is now thanks to science. Dear God.
The future is now thanks to being a connoisseur.
He's still got, like, more Pokemon, I feel. And I think he does have more Pokemon, but I mean, and more, like, random focus than Serena did, which is just weird.
The next generation is going to be a guy walks around going, these nuts! You know what you need, Ash? What? These nuts! It's just going to be the bit the entire season.
Sounds accurate.
Hey, office. Okay. Hey, Nurse Joy. You know what you need to give my Pokemon? These nuts.
Said Officer Jenny. Officer Joy.
And Nurse Officer Joy's Jenny. Actual nuts.
Officer Joy and Nurse Jenny.
That's what they need to do in like a backwards world.
They do. They need to go to Earth too. What are they even doing with their lives? Reverse Flash is actually Ash. Called Reverse Ash.
Well, they go to Earth 2, and instead of Nurse Joy, it's Nurse Jay, and it's just all Jay Garrick.
That actually seems right. Again, another good segue if we didn't have to take a trip to National City first. Car jammed. Wouldn't mind doing that.
No, that's right.
So, speaking of...
Speaking of car jammed, she got jammed by a new assistant.
Oh, God.
What's her name?
Siobhan.
Oh, yeah, that should be easy to remember. So, Kat's being a bitch to her because she dumped her husband. Not Kat's husband, Kara's husband. On Earth 4. Our Earth. Why are we Earth 4? I don't want to be Earth 4. Let's be Earth 0. Anyway, so that's going on. This week was about Master Jailer, which had a pretty cool costume. I liked it, at least.
Yeah, I like the... I mean, it's very cliche superhero now, but I like the whole, like, armor appearing kind of thing.
Yeah, and it just looked neat, and I liked... I don't think once the reveal happened of who he was, I was that enthralled with him, but I like the concept of the villain, of this guy that sort of is taking it to the extreme after
he really the prison went down. Justice.
Yeah, he's like Bleep Bustas. No, but I hate everything he stands for.
He's justice. The wrong color.
But like I just like the concept of like this guard that sort of becomes his villain. Like it, because once the reveal happened, it's not like he was that enthralling. But I still liked some of the stuff around it. And they showed that the husband of that activist in Eagleton is a good villain. From the Four Ra's.
Is that who that was?
Yeah, he was the obviously gay husband of that activist lady that was always giving Leslie shit and like tried to get her to put down that painting and tried to stop the sex ed course and stuff. But I thought that was interesting to sort of tackle that not all of them were bad. And also in general, like with the exception of last week or last episode, I guess, when they did the Astra stuff, it's like one of the first times they've mentioned Fort Ra's in a while.
I know. I was just going, they haven't really mentioned the prisoners at all, and then this one, there's like, here's a bunch of prisoners.
Yeah, because, like, they unexpectedly didn't make that the constant focus, and when they did, it was basically all about Astra and Whistler, and they really didn't have much mention of the prison other than Astra talking about how she was thrown in there, but, like, nothing about the criminals and anything. So it was, like, the first sort of thing dealing with that. The fight with her and him was pretty cool, too. And she's still super mad at John for not killing Astra. He didn't do it.
I'm going to call him Jink.
It was Lil Gray. She did it. And she, I wonder how long it'll be before she finds out. Probably, I'm going to say within a few episodes. Probably.
Yeah, I wouldn't be too surprised if it was like next episode, honestly.
Yeah, because...
they seem to progress through things pretty fast on Supergirl.
Well, yeah, not to mention, just in general, with Flash and Arrow and everything, I think they've been doing a pretty good job of not dragging out reveals, like...
revealed?
Like, getting into it, like, with the Williams stuff, I thought they were going to drag that out a bit longer. The Earth 2 thing, when they decided to not say anything, I thought that was going to go on longer. So, like, in general, they've been doing that, so I think they'll probably address it sooner than later, which will be nice, hopefully. What else went down in this episode? I feel like there was something else. Like, there's something else I wanted to mention. What else was going on? Assistant Lady, Master Jailer, She-Mad... next week, like, it's going to be cool with the Fortress of Solitude and stuff like that. Oh,
The assistant is supposed to be Silver Banshee.
Oh.
And if I remember correctly, that's the villain for the Flash crossover.
Oh, yeah, because I saw those pictures of that and the other girl. I can't remember her name, but she's already been in the show once. And then, like, a couple pictures of a Flash and Supergirl with each other, which is cool. I can't remember the name of what it was, but Kara was asking the AI mom about something that asked... Wait, is that her name?
No, the Myriad is what she was asking about. Oh, there we
go. Okay, yeah. She was asking her about that, and like, yeah, I was getting all persnickety about it. Like, you don't have to be such a bee about it.
Stop asking me!
I don't know why it would...
I will explode!
Beep, bop, boop. Like, it took a very... beep, bop, boop, murder! So yeah, that was one of the things that happened. It was very much just kind of a all around just solid run of the mill episode. There was nothing too spectacular about it, but I enjoyed it. But nothing really earth shattering happened. Just a couple little plot seeds planted. Jimmy wants to tell his girlfriend about Kara, which seems weird because I think it's kind of a selfish request on his part. I think that him just telling Lucy that he's working closely with Supergirl would be good enough to sort of open up the trust with him, because
he's being a butt about it.
Yeah, thank you, Brian. Well put. But like, it seems very selfish because it's her secret, and that there's a way to do it without keeping secrets from Lucy so much, and still respecting Kara's secret. But also, it seems strange, since it seemed like a couple weeks back, it seemed like he was on the road to breaking up with Lucy when he got kidnapped by...
I'm not interested in their story, like, at all.
No, not really either. Me either, but it just seems weird because I think it was the one right before last week with Bizarro Supergirl that, like, he basically admitted he loved her, and it seemed like he was on the road to... breaking up with Lucy, like I said, and it just seemed weird, and all of a sudden he's like, oh gosh, gotta be serious about Lucy, gotta be serious about this shiz. I don't know why he talks like that now. But, so that just seemed kind of like a weird random character thing. But, yeah, I guess we'll see. I don't have too much else to say, though.
Nope.
The Frash?
Frash.
The Frack? The Frackest man alive. The Flash was good this week.
When is it not?
Well, what's funny is it was one of those classic ones where I never thought the episode was going to be bad by any means, but like the previews and everything made it seem like, oh, it's going to be a fun, like, one-off fillery episode to sort of cleanse your palate after Earth 2. And it did have those elements, but it also was like super heavy because it was like the epilogue to Earth 2 stuff. And
I love this episode because it is the reason that I got to see Diggle twice this week.
And Diggle was just amazing. His reactions. I love how George live tweeted the podcast today, and he always puts a GIF up when he starts. And the GIF was. And when I saw the episode, I was thinking, I need to find a GIF of that. Is near the end of the episode when Flash zooms off, and Diggle does this, like, this little, like, squint look at him. Like, it was just. His reactions to everything are the absolute best.
Diggle or George?
Diggle. George, too, but Diggle. But Diggle's role was like, it wasn't like, I'm trying to think of a way to say it. It wasn't like super crucial to the plot, but I think it was important because A, he's Diggle. But B, I think one of Diggle's best roles on Arrow for Oliver is he gives really good advice to him, and he's just like this really good supportive figure that can sort of see things from a different perspective and just sort of basically offer sage advice. And I think that Barry really needed that this week, and he even pointed out that he was acting like Oliver and putting the weight of the world on his shoulders, which Oliver does quite often. And I think Diggle's role with that was sort of important, especially with like the conclusion Barry came to at the end of the episode. So it's always nice to have more Diggle. And we got a little bit of a seed planted for Diggle's going to get an upgrade to his helmet. I thought it was going to happen at the end of the episode, but I get a feeling...
Too. I wanted to see it.
Because I heard, like, in one of the
interviews... Does it still look like Magneto? That's the question.
I don't know whether it's going to be only... Or aesthetic at all, or if it's just going to be, like, oh, he can get, like, music in it or something. I don't know. But...
I put in an MP3 player so you can listen to your jams.
I put in an M3P. But, yeah, because I read an interview where they said, oh, he's going to talk with Cisco about getting a new helmet upgrade, and then they mentioned it at like the beginning, so I thought it was going to happen, but I think it'll be saved. Maybe it'll just be like, oh, hey, look, I have a new helmet on Arrow, or maybe like Cisco will appear, I don't know. But still, it was just nice.
I would love to see Cisco twice, too.
Everyone twice. Like, I love when they
Cisco do... twice in a row, my head would explode from all the awesome.
That was last week. 2 weeks ago. But I love when they do small little crossovers too, where it's not like a huge event, and have something like Laurel popping, or was it Laurel that popped over? No, Cisco that came over to Starling City when he met Laurel, or this case. I mean, it's like just a couple characters, and it just shows the shared universe, and it's more about like those character moments than a lot of the fanfare.
I liked all the random bits about like Felicity and
oh yeah, like
and everything.
Yeah, it kind of goes to show like all those little touches, and I'll probably mention that again, but they had a little bit of those in Arrow this week too, that just kind of shows that even though when they're off doing their own thing, when they're very much involved in it, it still feels like they're this big friend group, and I like that. Quite a lot else went down this week. All the King Shark stuff I thought was really good.
King Shark looked good.
Yeah, he really did. I was gonna say that too. Like, him and Grodd are immensely impressive for like being on a network. But he made it wasn't like a compelling villain, but it made like for a really good part of, like I said, palate cleanser. Because it's funny like that this episode was like part epilogue heavy, part fun palate cleanser stuff, and it was a good monster of the week. And not only did King Shark look good, but the final fight sequence when Barry like used Whirlpool was very impressive and really cool looking to see. So all that was really neat. I mean, obviously this episode still scores a 0 because they didn't bring back Peace Bibs for this. Perfect opportunity. What are they even doing with their lives?
She's in school.
No, there's no excuse. Want her back.
You can't have Peace Bibs working with Diggle. That would break everything.
The universe would already be dead, like iZombie. Already dead. The theme song is playing right now. I can see what else. Wally and Barry are in a tiff. Because Barry's...
You have a problem with me, man?
You're the favorite.
I'm my black dad.
So there was that, which I think was nice that they addressed that, because they really hadn't had any scenes together that I recall before this.
They didn't have any.
And, like, it's a very slow start, obviously, since they're still kind of, I don't want to say not really getting along, but along those lines, to, you know, getting a relationship going between those two, since they're more than likely going to be a mentor role for Barry when he becomes Kid Flash somehow. Mm-hmm. Not Barry. That'd be funny. It'd be funny, like, Wally becomes the Flash and Barry becomes Kid Flash. They're going to have to, so they don't want to confuse audiences. So Wally's going to take over as Flash, but they're going to MMPR season through Barry, and he's going to become Kid Flash. They're just going to call him Bailey. Bailey Allen. I mean, if they mention Argus in the movies, I'm going to... How is there two Arguses? I don't understand how this works.
I'm already. But yeah, they got that going when they mention another Flash. It's not Grant Gustin. What's going on?
But it's kind of surprising, like, now that I'm thinking about it, how much actually was going on in this episode with King Shark, the Earth 2 Aftermath, and then I didn't even think about how it's quite a lot extra to add in starting the development on the Barry Wally front. I mean, it wasn't like it took a huge chunk out of it, but they balanced it all pretty well. Wally being a total jerk, calling Barry a coward, and Giles like, oh, hell no, that's my kin. You don't talk about Barry that way. You best get yourself out.
Joe to the rescue.
Joe is seriously the best. I actually got my friend in class to start watching The Flash, and after she watched it was the first three episodes she only saw, and I asked her her favorite character was, and she saw Joe. She said Joe, and my face just lit up. I'm like, Joe is the best. The Black Dad. I told her, I said, my friend described him as the Black Dad you've always wanted, and she says, that's the perfect description. I'm like, I know!
Exactly.
But anyway, as for the heavier stuff this week, I think the best scene, hands down, was when Barry was telling Joe and Iris about everything, and he did a fantastic performance.
Grant Gustin's a fucking beast.
Single man tier, man. It's like, what's going on, Barry?
I had more than a single man tier.
Yeah, two.
I had all the man tiers.
But that was just a very well done scene that, honestly, I feel dumb for not even. That was a really good time for a burp to just say, I feel dumb. Pause.
I feel dumb.
That I didn't even think about how much of the guilt was weighing on Barry for the whole situation in general. Because I, obviously, because of the last episode that just happened, I was thinking about Earth 2 and Joe and Jay and everyone whose name just starts with a J. I didn't even think about that he must be feeling guilty for everything he did with the Reverse Flash to open the portals in the first place.
Mm-hmm.
But then, like, if that never happened, then they wouldn't have a chance to help Earth 2 and help Wells and his daughter and all that. But I can't believe I didn't even think about that. And he really showed how much that's been weighing on him, both, like, the more recent stuff and the overall picture.
And, like, it wasn't his family, but still to have to go through and watch someone with the same face as someone that you love die.
Yeah, I
like,
mean,
that's kind of like, that hurts.
Yeah, that's good. That hurts, man.
That hurts, man.
Yeah, that's got to have an effect, and it did. And Barry's going through a lot, man. And like you said, Grant Gustin just he conveyed it brilliantly. It was just a fantastic scene. And they also dealt with sometimes a little bit on the lighter front, but Cisco given Caitlin the side eye, wonder if she's about to go Elsa on everyone's ass.
I love it when she came in and started acting like Killer
Frost. Yeah, and Cisco was freaking out.
No. I knew it.
But she did kind of show at the beginning like some very Killer Frost like demeanors, which I'm trying to think. I feel like that was the first time. Obviously, Killer Frost was the first time we ever saw a really cold Caitlyn, but this beginning of this episode, I think that was the first time we ever saw this Caitlyn really like that, because, like, when we met her, obviously she was mourning over Ronnie, but it had been a while, so she was, like, a little bit closed off, but not, like, cold, and so I think this was the first time we saw her like that, and I honestly don't think this Caitlyn will ever go evil. I'm probably going to eat those words because I just said that.
Well, she said it too, so.
Well, yeah, but I think that there's a good potential of her possibly getting powers down the road.
I would like to see her get the powers, but remain good.
Yeah, like, I was just going to say that at some point in the history of the show, I think it would be cool if she got the powers, and there could be a really good arc about, you know, her knowledge of Killer Frost and, like, worrying about that. But then I don't think that she'll ultimately become evil, but I think that that whole idea of her knowing about it makes for some really good storytelling potential for if she would get powers. Mm-hmm. And I think that's cool. And I like that they did the Earth 2 stuff because obviously going in, I found out that she was a villain, the character normally, and then Caitlin was just so not a villain. And I like that we're going to be able to keep her and still do Killer Frost at the same time, because I also don't think it's the last we've seen of Killer Frost, given that they didn't show a clear death or anything like that.
Yeah.
So I hope they keep her around in general. Like, I hope the next time she shows, she doesn't die either. Like, I think it would be cool if they ever do that arc with Caitlin to possibly have Killer Frost show up and have them interact. I don't know. There could just be lots of cool stuff going on there with that. The same thing with Sisko, too. I think that his worrying about Caitlin was... I definitely think he was worried about Caitlin since she's one of his best friends, but I also think there was a little bit also of him worrying about himself, knowing that another version of himself was evil. Mm-hmm. So I think that's all. There's just so much cool stuff going on. God damn it,
I know.
Like, I love the show so much. And all this, and we haven't even gotten to the fact that Zoom's identity was revealed, which honestly is pretty unexpected. Which
it wasn't what I was expecting. I can't say I'm overwhelmed with wow.
I don't mean the identity. I mean the reveal time, like the timing of
it. Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. Like I can kind of see it because they're going on a break. They want to leave people with like some big juicy shit to talk about.
Oh god. but I think that it was kind of neat because it subverted expectations that Zoom's identity would be revealed in the Earth 2 two-parter, but I just didn't see that coming to be revealed just so quickly there at the end. But like you said about the identity, it wasn't like especially, I think if the man in the mask hadn't been miming out Jay or whatever last week, I think it would have been more shocking. But after, obviously there was already some Jay Garrick theories floating around, especially with the Hunter Zolom and stuff, but after last week, I think it took away some of the potential shock. There's still a lot confusing about it because we have Jay Garrick and then Zoom with the same face, and then I'm going to kind of presume the guy in the mask is a Jay Garrick too. I did see an interesting theory that that's Eddie. Our Eddie.
Yeah, I saw that. I just kind of chose to ignore it because I think it's weird.
I did see... I don't think it was a very serious theory, but it was a funny one about Zoom being Diggle, because Diggle is so like flabbergasted by the speed, and it would be funny for him to be a speedster. And I'm thinking that never happened. It's a funny idea, but I kind of slightly loved it just because he's the right build, and like Diggle as Zoom would just be amazing. It wouldn't be amazing story wise, but other than for the funny factor. But yeah, like you said, and I said, it's not very smack in the face shocking, but there's still like a lot of questions around
it. Yeah, like I still don't fully know what's happening.
Because
there's so many different things that could be going on. Like, one of them could be Hunter Zolomon from Earth 1, and then you've got Jay from Earth 2. Is the Jay that we were watching the Jay from Earth 2, or is Zoom the Jay from Earth 2? Is one of those even actually Jay? Like, it could be like a twin, or
that clone guy we talked about last time or whatever.
Yeah, it could be someone shapeshifting. It could be that thing about like Zoom being a byproduct of Jay trying to use the Velocity 6.
Yeah.
And it like created this manifestation of his speed. So I don't know.
There's all kinds of stuff, and like the Hunter Zolomon thing just adds to it, because I've seen a couple people say like everyone just assumes Zoom's from Earth 2. Like, he could very well be the Hunter Zolomon guy, and he could have found a way to get over to Earth 2 before the breach even happened.
Yeah, and he could have actually been the Hunter Zolomon that was in Earth 1, just chilled on the bench. Maybe Zoom likes to read. You don't know his life.
Zoom is very well read. He's obviously from the library. He's so evil. Punk-ass book jockeys. But yeah, there's still like so many questions, and I still love that there's a lot of questions. And it kind of, I guess the fact that they were both in the same room and there was a flashback of Jay fighting Zoom erased those questions, but Zoom dropping Jay erased any sort of doubt I had about Jay actually being Zoom. Because like I said last week, it was suspicious when, right after, not too long after the Jay like Morse code scene, you know, Jay was mysteriously absent when Caitlin was needing his help, when
grav attack or whatever was attacking them. Yeah, there's a lot to think about there. Admittedly, Jay Garrick's Boy Scout looks really don't fit the evil scarecrow that is Zoom, but his build definitely fits it a lot better than Wally's would have.
Yeah.
As cool as some of the story ideas behind that would have been.
Like, I understand the Wally theory, and I could totally get behind it, and I understand the thought process
for
sure as well.
And it could have been cool. It is kind of funny, too, that this episode revealed that, given George's theory about Wally or Joe and all the fishing, and this episode had, like, basically a fishing storyline, and it was, like, the ultimate clue, and then nothing happened with, like, it being Joe or Wally or anything like that. So I think
that's Henry.
Yeah. That guy's just a dick all around. Dad. But yeah, it's like, well, 3 or 4 weeks until the next episode, which definitely leaves you with a lot to think about, and I'm looking forward to seeing how it shakes out. And it is kind of funny to think that they revealed Zoom, which is like taking away a mask reveal, but since they introduced the guy in the mask, they still have another mask reveal. So they kind of like, hey, we can reveal it now. We got another guy. Like I said, I'm kind of assuming it's just going to be another Jay, but I guess it could be Eddie. I don't know. Because he did fall through that portal.
Yeah, I think it'd be kind of dumb if it was Eddie, to tell you the truth. Like,
I'm not sure how he would know Jay. That's what
they're reminding me. Yeah, that's my bit. Like, I don't know.
I think it probably all has to do with Jay somehow. Because,
like, if he was Eddie, I would have figured he would mime Eddie, not Jay.
Yeah, unless, like, somehow
Eddie wouldn't know that Barry knows Jay anyway, so.
Yeah, like, unless, like, Eddie's corpse and Jay became best friends within the gap time before Jay met him.
Zombie Eddie just got right along with Jay, like, they were two peas in a pod.
Earth 2 is actually also where iZombie takes place, so.
Okay.
That's how it works, you know, Utopium, you know, Hoppy. Like, Eddie fell face first into a vat of Utopium.
Got it.
And that happens.
That makes sense. I don't know why I never thought of that.
But, yeah, so I'll be very interested to see what answers they come up with. If I thought Eddie was going to be involved at all, I had, like, I think I mentioned I had a small theory about Zed. About Lord Zed coming in and being like, oh, Zed. I don't know, I forget his quotes. But, like, Eddie being Zoom somehow is, like, this weird byproduct of the timeline thing, you know? Because he corrupted the timeline and then he fell through a rift, and I don't know. I thought somehow that was something. Because I kept thinking, which it could be true, not about Eddie, but I mean, something to do with the Zoom stuff may still have to do with the breach in general. I don't know. We'll see. But I love that I have stuff to talk about that, like, not only is the Zoom stuff intriguing, but all the other stuff we talked about with what Barry's going through and the Cisco stuff and the Caitlin stuff. There's just so much awesome going on, and
I can't wait for it. It's constant, too. Like, every fucking week. Like, there's so much to talk about and then so much to speculate. Like, they reveal stuff and there's still shit to speculate about.
Yeah, and it's like, there hasn't really been any true filler since the very beginning of the show.
This is the closest they got, and this still had so much to talk about.
Well, yeah, like I said, it's funny how the advertisements make it seem like it's going to be a funny little filler. And even if they have that storyline, something always happens, and it's always heavy. So it was good. It was a really good follow-up to it and, like, a good springboard into the return. It's going to be, like, agonizing in the summer when it's on a hiatus because of, like, how much, especially the past couple of years, is how much discussion it's brought. But, you know, CW's trying to kill it because of the movie, you know. You know how it be.
See, DC's actually canceling all shows.
DC's trying to kill itself.
Well, that might be true, honestly. DC does some weird-ass shit.
But yeah, I think that's about it. I guess Arrow now. Technically speaking, I'm not going to change the order, but we probably, Legends of Tomorrow would come first since it's from last week, even though it's a Thursday. Timey-wimey.
Yeah, I thought about that.
But in a more traditional order, Arrow. Speaking of DC, random Batman versus Superman commercial right now. Arrow, I thought, was a pretty good week this week. Again, not as much intriguing stuff going on as the other shows. In fact, this week's Legends looks like it might be a better Arrow episode than Arrow.
I want to read this text that I sent Aerosol, because we were talking back and forth during Arrow. And I said, I feel kind of bad for Arrow. It was really enjoyable, but then the Flash happened, and it got knocked down by its cooler, younger sibling. Then the family decided to have another baby, and it got knocked down again. Now it's living under the stairs like Harry Potter.
It's kind of a good way of describing it.
Like, I still love it. It's a great show, and I enjoy watching it every week, but the shit with Damian Dark just kind of got really convoluted.
And kind of old.
I feel like this plot has just been getting really stretched and not going anywhere.
Yeah, I have to agree. Like, I agree, basically agree about all that. Like, I still love me some Arrow. I love the characters still. But yeah, that it's. I think what it's lacking, which I guess isn't something necessarily a show always has to have, but it's what The Flash and Legends have. I think the main thing about Legends for me is the entertainment of it. But about Flash, and to a degree Legends, is they have these sort of questions and plots you're wondering about. And Arrow hasn't had that since season 2. Mm-hmm. Like, what I think made season 2 so good for me was, the personal conflict between Deathstroke and Oliver was very personal. Because we got to see Oliver. Wow, really? I'm trying to think of a better word, but like, they had such a good friendship on the island, and we got to see that develop over a year and a half. And so it made the conflict that much more meaningful. And also, like, you know, seeing the two sides sort of come together, like you're seeing them slowly starting to head towards conflict on the island, and then in the present you're seeing them, you know, fighting. And like, there's so many questions about how did that happen. And
I don't even know where the hell the flashbacks are at right now.
They're going into a cave. Like, they just
keep doing mystical voodoo shit.
They're in a like low rent sauna, like digging through the walls. Like, I don't know what's happening, but like, the flashbacks were so much more well done back then, and the personal conflict of that, and there was some just questions about what happened to Oliver and Slade that led to this, and this, of course, Sarah returning. Like, there was just so much more going on that I was intrigued by, and the conflicts just felt more engaging, and I think Arrow's been missing that, and I think this season has done some improvements over the last, but still, I think the Damian Dark stuff has dragged out. There's definitely some questions about, like, obviously we figured out this week, like, what he was doing to get his power, which was like going over a Wi-Fi hotspot of magic with a little idol, but like how he got hooked up with the magics, all that, like what this organization that wants like a cornfield for. But they're not burning questions like, who is this altered dimension evil scarecrow guy, and all these stuff going on in Flash, and I think that it just needs more of that. And something that's, like, I mentioned this before, that's really weird about Arrow, considering more or less the same people are involved in all these shows, it lacks this payoff. It's really weird. Like, The Flash and so far Legends, in some respects, with how early it is on it is, and in Supergirl too, for the most part, I'm very satisfied with the way character moments or storylines or secrets that are revealed or whatever are paid off. And Arrow has this really weird flat delivery with that. Like, this episode had one in particular with them essentially defeating Damian Dark was glossed over. They just fucking left him on the ground. And the little trailer for next week shows that he's in jail, but they never really addressed it. And given that he's the main villain of the season right now, the fact that they didn't address that or draw attention to it at all is weird. And I still think my least favorite thing was Sarah's resurrection. I like how she was resurrected. They took their time on that. But there's so many story beats that are annoying that they didn't play, like her reaction to Laurel becoming the Canary, and her talking to anybody, literally. Nyssa. Like, why didn't she have a scene with Nyssa? Like, that was just... It's just this really, like I said, really, like, weird she, lack of payoff.
She was really only brought back for Legends. And
yeah.
Like, they just didn't bother to do anything with the character once it came back. It's like, okay, she's back. We're ready for Legends. Move along.
But it's like they still had time. Like when I knew Sarah was coming back, I was really looking forward to all that stuff because Oliver made such a big deal about not training Laurel at first because of how mad Sarah would be. And that, no, she's like, oh, whatever, I don't even care. And how Nyssa was so upset over the resurrection, but she didn't even bother talking to her. And that could have been so many cool things. And there very well could be episodes dealing with that on Legends, but even just with other things, it just has this weird lack of satisfaction from a lot of things. Just words, memory time, things and stuff. But it's a lot of it's hard to just describe and put my finger on, but it's just weird for me that the same people could be doing this and deliver such satisfying stuff on Flash in terms of conflict resolution on an Arrow. It just doesn't pack as much. I mean, I guess a lot did kind of happen in this episode. Like we said, Damian got taken down. Oliver quit his mayoral campaign. He should have just got up there and said, listen, my running mate's husband is blackmailing me because he has my son. And he just totally dropped the secret on what's-her-face's lap, so she was in the Arrow cave for a bit. What I think is funny is, I think I've talked about this a couple weeks in a row, but it's the way that the storyline is with Oliver having run for mayor and Damian not wanting him to be there, and then obviously the Arrow taking on Damian. It makes the whole secret identity thing really awkward because it's so obvious, even though they did that thing with Malcolm. But it's like, I think next season, whatever they do for the villain, they need to, if they're wanting to keep Oliver's identity a secret to the public, they need to write it in such a way that it doesn't seem awkward and make Damian seem stupid. With that, it's just, especially with Oliver and, if you half expect a scene where Oliver mixed up his Arrow and Oliver phones when negotiating with Damian. Like, it's so weird with all that. I don't know why Malcolm's wearing a cast. His arm got cut off. He can still use it. I mean, like a sling. Like, why is it in a sling? Is, like, the blood all going to flow to the tip of the stub? Like, why are you doing that? Like, you can still eat full mobility. Just trying to get that sympathy vote from Thea.
Yeah, what an asshole.
Yeah, Malcolm's kind of the worst.
Do you think there's a possibility of him being like the big bad at the end of the season?
I don't think so. Because of whatever's involved with that group that Damian's a part of, I think is going to be more a part of it. Whether it's just a group in general, or there's possible reveal of another, maybe even recognizable villain name. That's like ahead of Damian. Especially since he came to Damian and sort of joined their little council. I don't think that. Or do you mean like after Oliver takes down like whatever Damian's doing, then he takes the place? Is that what you're talking about?
Yes, maybe. Well, I mean, because Dark's in jail now, and supposedly from what we know, he doesn't have his magic anymore. And I'm wondering if, hold on, Bella, or no, you're Zeus. Don't. You already got in there, I can see. You're licking your lips and half the food's gone. Yeah, you walk a shame out of here. But, as it stands, we assume that he doesn't have his magic. And so he's kind of useless. So I'm wondering if Malcolm tries to figure out a way to tap into the magic and tries to become some... I mean, his name is Merlin.
So. Like, for God's sake, it's right there. Do I have to spell it out for you? Do you mean like him taking over as that like group's like essentially taking over Damian's job for that group?
Yeah,
I think it could be possible. I would love to see his storyline end this year. I think that would be great. Like at the end of last
year, I love John Barrowman, but I'm.
Yeah,
kind of done with the character.
Same. Like, I think at the end of last year, I thought making him Roz was a good setup. Because I thought that he wouldn't be around all the time. Like, he didn't need to be in your face and kind of being annoying like he has been. But, like, he could appear occasionally to, you know, have a scene with Thea, maybe do something morally questioning. I was kind of okay with that, make him a sort of semi-reoccurring figure. But then they got rid of the League, which I don't have a problem with that, but just... And then still having him be around more. And he basically just does the same thing where he just appears in someone's apartment or building or whatever and just he's annoying. And yeah, so I don't know if he'll become the big bad for them, but I would like to see his story end. I definitely don't want to see them resolve this conflict and take down this organization or whatever and then position Merlin to be like the big bad for season 5. I don't want that to happen. I think he had his time. I think he was at the most intimidating in season 1 when, you know, it was revealed he was Tommy's dad, which we kind of already knew ahead of time, but and like he really like beat down Oliver. Mm-hmm. And I think that was the most intimidating, but now he just seems like just a lying asshole. So I don't know. I'm definitely curious, not quite as much as other things on other shows, but I'm definitely curious to find out what this council is and who's maybe overall in charge and what their farming plans are, you know? Are you organic? I don't know. Cage-free? Does it matter? Do they taste different if they're not in cages? I still understand that. You can really taste the freedom. Like, I still understand that. But, yeah, I guess we'll find out. We haven't mentioned yet that Vixen was on this week, which was I still haven't seen the animated series, and I completely meant to catch up on that. Those small.
Yeah, I watched it the other day.
Yeah, like it's really short, so it's easy to do, and I totally meant to do it before this happened, but I'm probably gonna try to do it this week. But regardless, the fact that I didn't catch up on it, it was still neat to see her in the show, and her powers are pretty cool. And it was a neat little addition, and I liked the little line about how they had an animated encounter.
Yeah,
that was funny.
I was like, oh, I see what you did there.
But like little mentions of like Barry and stuff with, you know, him being the lab tech that pulled Sam aside and like, don't tell Barry I sniffed his figure and little just moments like that look sort of, I love what I love about the expanded universe, but her appearance was cool. I hope she kind of appears every now and then. That'd be cool to see her pop up on
really
the show.
I really want her on Legends.
That would be really cool. If they do like there's always a lot of talk about if the series continues, them doing a revolving door, which I think is cool, but I like the Legends team so much, I don't want them to all be gone. But yeah. I think it would be cool to have a couple rotating slots or possible add-ons. But if she doesn't join the cast next season or something, I'd like to see her pop up on all three or whatever, whenever like it calls for it. But yeah, it was just cool. Like there was a neat addition to the episode.
As long as we end up with more of her, I'm happy, because she's nice.
Yeah. My secret crush is Vixen. My not-so-secret crush is the unnamed girl whose name I already forgot from Power Rangers. Kaylin. Kaylin! Damn it! So close! Okay. But, yeah, that was a cool part of the episode, and she smashed Damien's idol real good.
The effects on her totem and stuff are nice.
Yeah, it's just a really cool power set, and it was done well with that. Oliver and Felicity broke up, so the timeline's catching up. Here's what's going to happen. They're going to get back together, and then he's going to tell her about the other timeline, and they're going to break up again. You lied to me about the timeline? Also, I didn't know. Did you know Oliver and Laurel dated? They brought that up this week. I never knew that.
I know, that's so weird.
So weird that they acknowledged that Laurel and Oliver knew each other. I just didn't even know they knew each other. I always joke about that, but it is kind of... I find it funny considering the first season and a half, he was all like, oh, Laurel, and then now it's like... He's like, oh, Laurel! It's an eye patch, Laurel! But... And then it's like, he's like, who are you again? Lisa? Like, in general, I think Laurel deserves a bit more. Not just because I like her, but I think she deserves a little more story time. Not like, you know, hey, read to me. Like, you know, her own little storyline and a little more screen time in general. I think she's earned it.
I feel kind of bad that she was actually hurt about it.
Like, yeah,
it seemed kind of out of place for Laurel. but
I don't think it was necessarily out of place. I actually like that they acknowledged it in that way, because like I said, they barely acknowledge that Oliver and Laurel know each other, but it did seem kind of right for that, and it, like I said, it was nice that they acknowledged it and that she showed some emotion about it. Like, it just seems like they never dated or anything, and at least it gave her something to do. She's basically just always backup. So I hope that changes. But I think I'm all good for that. Ready to talk about Prison Break? Prison Break 3.
The worst part about this is I can never remember what happened properly.
It was the Prison Break, and they were getting stunned.
I know that.
Yeah, because I said Prison Break.
It was the firestorms and Russian lady, and she exploded.
Yeah, she turned inside out, and then she exploded. I thought this was a very good episode. Something I liked about it is, something I like about the series in general, I guess, is that within the short amount of time, I really like some of the character progressions that have happened. Mm-hmm. In particular, Captain Cold and Heatwave. Like, in Flash, they established that Captain Cold wasn't a completely evil guy. So, like, when we knew he was going to be on this show, I didn't find it that much of a stretch that they could do more of an anti-hero thing. But, like, with Heatwave, I was a little more curious because he's just basically, he like fire. And they did this really neat little story of this, or last week, I guess, with him and Ray, with Ray essentially trying to make friends with them and, you know, trying to explain to him about being what a part of a team's like, and then actually showing him by taking a beating for him, and then, you know, him reciprocating by getting him out of there when Michael came in for him. And it was a small little story, and some subtle parts to it, but I thought it was really nice in the way of not only bonding the team, but sort of showing that I still think Heatwave will always be the most villainous of the group, I guess, or the most criminal-like, but at least showing that he's not, you know, just a generic villain that hates everyone and everything, and that he can actually form attachments and stuff. Yeah. And I thought that was a really nice way of showing that, and I think a good way of showing the character progression. And for Cold, too, with him, I liked him with Sarah and talking her down from killing Stein. I liked that. And that Rory decided not to kill Stein because he's not going to come back because he's not Rory. Look, you can't just kill Stein. He's not going to come back like you, Rory.
maybe he won't regenerate.
It's so funny. Every time I read an episode description anywhere or an article and they mention Rory in reference to the show, I always picture Rip. But if they're talking about Mick, and it's just, it's super awkward. But I liked everything involving that. I think it was strong character moments for Snart talking Sarah down, for Sarah deciding not to do it, and for Rip, obviously he gave the order first, but also deciding not to do it. Like, this episode got a little bit for everybody. We had that stuff, like I mentioned, the stuff with Ray and
the show in general is doing a fantastic job of giving everyone equal screen time.
Yeah.
And for such a large ensemble cast, that says a lot about how the writing works and everything.
Like, this episode in particular, it kind of reminds me of, like, The Avengers, where, like, what I was impressed by, especially, I guess both movies, but, like, when I first saw the first movie, how I was impressed that each character kind of got this nice character moment and also some good action. And that's what a lot of the series feels like, with this episode in particular, with everyone getting it. Because I mentioned all the other stuff, but there was also a lot of the overarching part of both episodes was Firestorm. Like both of them, Stein and how am I drawing a blank? Jefferson, like their bond, and I thought that was just great stuff. And it was just a really good episode. It was some good action, good Prison Breaky stuff, good character moments.
This isn't my first Prison Break.
that was good. I knew they had to. There was no way they could not acknowledge it. I mean, Wentworth Miller alone being on that show in a Prison Break storyline, but the fact that both Michael and Lincoln are there, it's like, come on, it's right there. I also loved the scene where, I don't think it was intentional with this, but when Rory and Snart were in the bathhouse with that guy trying to like recruit him, and he said, "If you don't have tats, you don't get street cred or whatever." And I was just thinking, Michael's like full body tats. I'm like, well,
if you only knew.
Yeah, for real. I can't wait to find out more details about that revival. I'm just so curious. Elephant. I just realized this week, like, obviously I've been making jokes about Whistler being on Supergirl, but I realized with the multiverse, he's just, like, yet another person, a part of DC TV that's from Prison Break. Belloc needs to become some... I feel like Supergirl would be really good for him to be a really comedic villain that wears a diaper somehow. I don't know. Supergirl, or, like, be one of the Flash episodes where it's like, oh, it's just going to be about Belloc in a diaper, and it ends up being a really deep episode. And Belloc in a diaper just happens to be there. Alright, so...
Fucking diaper Belloc.
His character. Like, it's just funny how many different things he went through in that season. Or series, I guess. Okay, I think that's it for Legends. I was almost thinking that was it, and then I remember we can actually talk about The Walking Dead. Did you watch it this week?
That scarred me a bit.
Wait, like the episode or the fact that you didn't watch it?
No, the episode.
Oh, seeing Rick and Michonne naked?
Yeah.
I love that they like, were just both them, ready to fight.
Them together, in general, just kind of was like, whoa, wait, hold on.
You didn't think that was going to happen?
Oh, not so quickly.
Oh. Well, I guess that's quickly for you.
I kind of figured it was going to happen eventually. But, I mean, he just had the thing with Jesse.
Well, it's been, like, I think a month or 2 months. It's definitely been a month. I don't remember what they said. I feel like it was 2 months on Talking Dead. They answered that. So it's been a little while.
Okay, that's fine then.
It was really funny. They're making jokes about it. He's like, well, I was into this one girl, but then I had to chop off her arm. The whole episode of Talking Dead this week was really funny. He was talking about if Carl walked in on him and he said, cover your eye, Coral. And Chris Hardwick referred to it as a deep ricking. It was overall just a really funny episode.
I have to go watch it.
Yeah, it's a fun after show. I really like it a lot. But like the relationship was kind of been building up for a while, and like I know there was a lot of people last season that were upset about Rick and Jesse because they were building some Rick and Michonne stuff and have Jesse in there. I still would have liked him to, you know, get one in there with Jesse before she, you know. But
I'd rather see Jesse naked, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, basically. Just, I'm trying to beat around the bush, but if her bush died. But, yeah, it's been a little while, which is obvious from some of the, like, the development they've done in the city and whatnot. And I really liked this episode because
their streak of bad luck continues.
Well, but it was like more comedic. Like, I really liked this episode because it was a really good. I've used this word a lot in this episode, but palate cleanser.
There wasn't that many walkers. It was great.
No, but I love like this Rick and Daryl like buddy comedy going on, like them chasing around Jesus. Like they said on there, they half expected Benny Hill music to start playing when Daryl was chasing him around the field. Like the whole thing was funny. Like, and they mentioned too how they could have easily gotten away with the food after Jesus fell off the truck, but they had to chase him down, and they lost all that food, and it's such a waste. It reminds me of every scene when they have a full plate of food and they eat a bite and walk away. I'm like, there's so much food you just left.
But I would have went in after it.
No,
truck was sealed. Some of that food was sealed. Go get it.
Oh, it was just such a waste. But like everything about it was just very entertaining. Rick singing in the car on the way, the end scene for the drive when Rick kept jarring the car so that Jesus kept falling in Daryl's lap or on his shoulder. It was just really nice, like funny moments. Which The Walking Dead will have funny moments, but it doesn't
do them nearly enough.
Yeah, and like it's very rare to have an episode where it's more lighthearted stuff, and this was like a good time for it after that. And it's also a good time for the time skip, considering the whole first half of the season took place over like a day or so.
Yeah.
And it also gives you time to do stuff like Rick and Michonne after Jesse and sort of like gloss over the episodes in which they rebuild, you know, the town and add on fences and shit like that, which would just be boring. Like, oh, the building a fence
shit episode. Shit no one wants to see.
Like, you know, Coral going through rehab. They got Dina's zombie and Coral, you know, Crowd or whatever.
I forgot that was her name.
Or Deanna. Was it Deanna? Yeah.
It was Deanna. Because you said Dina. I kept thinking of the chick from Superstore.
No. That's a whole different thing. Zombie Dina. Oh, I can only imagine. Zombie Dina still trying to track down that secret shopper. Yeah, so that was, I think, one of my lesser favorite parts of the episode, but I did like that Carl, led her towards the sun just because he kind of had to do the same thing when he had to shoot Laurie, so I thought that was kind of a nice character moment for him. And that sort of, like, sweetly disturbing zombie apocalypse thing of, hey, I like you, or I love you enough that I would kill you if you were a zombie. Michonne's like, me too, bring it in. Classic Coral. He's only been one episode, but I really like Jesus as a character. That sounds so funny to say. But what I like about
him, what was his name, Paul or something?
I don't know. But what I like about him is that usually when you meet a character out in the wild in Walking Dead, they end up being either part of or they are the leader of some disturbed group that we're going to be going up against, which we're about to head into that with Negan. But I like that we met a character who, he's obviously very mischievous, and he was causing Rick and Daryl trouble by trying to steal their food, but it was like in a very funny and playful way.
He was just trying to get some food.
Yeah, and like he was obviously trying to do something bad to him in that sense, but he wasn't really a bad guy, you could sort of tell. There's still obviously some questions about him, but just the conflict was very like a trickster, and it was fun and lighter, and it was nice to see them meet a character that wasn't, you know, from a group that might try to eat you or dictate you or whatever we've been running into, or draw a W on your head. You know, I don't know what the wolves' lives are like.
Walks in on Rick and Michonne.
Yeah. I love that. Like, it was so casual, like, psst, you busy? And I love that, like, stark naked, they both get up and they both have their signature weapon, her katana and his revolver. It's just, it was funny. Yeah, it was just a very good episode. I just really enjoyed it. It was just an enjoyable episode of less depression. Like, I love the little breaks. Like, obviously the show is always just gonna hit the fan, but it's always nice to get a little bit of a break. I do not remember putting this flashlight over here. That's disturbing. Anyway, probably a ghost in my house. I'm scared. Thanks, me, for saying that. I'm not going to be able to sleep tonight.
It's actually just Geo the World.
But I don't think there's too much else to cover. They never did get that Orange Crush. RIP Orange Crushes.
They were so close.
Yeah, but there wasn't that much else going on. That girl was being a bee, and Maggie's like, damn, maybe I should have bought this thing. Kids are the worst. But
kids are the worst.
They really are. Yeah, enjoyable episode. Looking forward to seeing where the Jesus stuff takes us. There's a couple funny bits about when he was taking the car. Someone, like, one of the comments I saw on, I think it was a Facebook page, is that Jesus literally took the wheel.
Oh, that's great.
Now it's time for
Tweet Tweet, motherfucker.
We're back for our semi-biweekly schedule. Okay, so we got two questions here. There's actually quite a decent pool of pretty good questions, so I really appreciate everyone sending it in. Like, we'll be filling them out over the next every other week, as long with George's stockpile. But the first one comes from Callan Macbeth, which – no, it's the wrong one. Sorry, that's next week. Spoiler alert. This first one's from Kieran Foster. Sorry, read the wrong one. Who is your favorite non-main writer? Mine for that is super easy, which is Kuranai Otaya, who was 1986 Ixo, which
You could technically like almost count him as a main character because he basically shared the spotlight with Wataru, but he's actually my favorite character and writer still ever. I really liked him. I found him to be just entertaining to watch. I really liked his character arc from becoming starting as like this playboy that really didn't care about anyone to becoming this hero figure. And I don't know, I really enjoyed him. If like you would count him as a main character, I guess my second would be probably Zeronos because I like time travel stuff and he was cool. And Danibu.
Since I can't say Otoya, probably Date.
Abs.
Yeah, he's pretty delicious. I just like his character in general. Like, it was such a quirky character to enter the show. And, I mean, that show was already filled with quirky characters anyway, but... it's like he's just this guy that's carrying on a big tin of metals around, and he's just being an all-around cool dude, but then he actually has, like, a pretty awesome story, I think.
Yeah.
And becoming a mentor figure for Goto and everything, so he had a lot of cool stuff going on, so I dig the old Aberunis.
I like that he, like, won me over, because I remember when we first came out that Birth was going to be someone new instead of Goto. I thought it was stupid, but then I really like how they handled it with I love the mentor relationship with them. And like you said, and he also in a way reminded me of Hibiki and their personalities were different, but they also had this base sort of like really easygoing sort of wise feel to him.
Yeah.
So I really dug that about him. Okay. So our next question is from good old Queefs, which is a Pokemon themed question in honor of the 20th anniversary. Which is basically asking us, how did we first get into Pokemon? Was it the games, anime, card game, toys, any random collector marble sets? I like the idea of someone getting a Pokemon by marble set. Like, someone just walking down the street, all of a sudden, like, a Pikachu marble rolls up, hits their foot. This is my destiny. Like, the funny thing is there's so many people and probabilities that's not that situation, but someone could have gotten into Pokemon via marbles. Okay, do you want to go first? I go first. Kevin?
Yeah. I'll go first. Right. Yes.
The answer is yes?
I'm trying to remember exactly. I think my first thought of Pokemon was when it was definitely Nintendo Power. Because that was before I was like heavy into digging around the internet for useless shit, and it was hard to find shit on the internet back then. Struggle was real. And so it was either in a Nintendo Power article, or it was when they started doing that Pokemon Power mini magazine. Back when they did that, I still have mine somewhere, I need to find them. So it was one of those two, but it was definitely from Nintendo Power in some fashion, and like, they showed off Pikachu and were explaining that it's a game about monsters, and that really caught my eye. And then as I was reading through, like, the Pokemon Power mini books and stuff, I was like, well, this game just seems really fun. This is the game I want. And when I got it on launch day, and this is why I have trust issues. Because, like, I was at school, obviously. I was in third grade or fourth grade when it came out. I don't remember. I needed math, and I don't feel like doing that right now. And so I was super excited this entire day because Pokemon was coming out, and I wanted to play it so bad. And so I, finally get out of school. I sit down in the car, and I'm all happy. And my mom just kind of looks over at me with, like, this concerned look on her face and said, I don't know how to tell you this, but the store didn't get their copies in today. I about cried.
And then Brian never trusted another human being again.
And then she said, but you should check the glove box. And so I opened the glove box, and there was my copy of Pokemon Blue sitting in there. And I wanted to kill her.
Bitch, I will cut you!
I just remember going home, like, quickly finishing my homework, if I even had any that day, and just playing Pokemon the entire fucking night, and it was great. So it was the video games for me. It was the first thing that I had related to Pokemon. I got into it from reading about it from Nintendo Power, and then from there it was toys, it was the show, it was the cards, and it never left. It left briefly, but there was a point where I was gonna stop collecting the cards because I wanted to invest more in Yu-Gi-Oh! Oh. And then I realized that, like, back then, like, the organized play for Yu-Gi-Oh! Was, like, non-existent. And the like, league that the Wizards of the Coast store had for Yu-Gi-Oh! Was just filled with little assholes. And so I said, you know what? No, I'm going to go back to Pokemon. So that was, like, a week in which I wasn't going to play the card game anymore. Like, it seriously was only a week. Because I decided I wasn't going to get them anymore, and then I went on vacation and bought a bunch of Ruby Sapphire packs randomly because I could buy things whenever I wanted to when I go out with my family. And then I was like, yeah, you know what? No, I like these. Let's do this. So that was my brief moment without Pokemon, but I was still playing the video games and stuff, so it doesn't really count. But
it was like a brief moment without an aspect of Pokemon.
Yeah.
Let's see. I didn't play it at launch. Mine was, like, word of mouth from... It was still pretty early, like, after the game came out, but it definitely wasn't launch. But it was, like... I want to say word of mouth, like, I had never heard of it, but it was, like, seeing other people in my class playing it, like, got me super excited for it. So then I had to have it, so I got Pokemon Blue. And that's pretty much where it started. And then after that, it's just, like, an amalgam of, like you said, the game and the show and the card game and, like... It was, like, this huge explosion at the time of everything. Like, everyone constantly playing the games on the playground, collecting the cards, you know, the classic rare Charizard stuff, and, like, watching the anime. And there was a thing called... they had it at both my elementary schools, but I always remember it at my first one, the before-school program, where, you know, like, when parents had to go to work, you get dropped off early or whatever. And, like... They would just sit us down in front of the TV, like this huge group of kids just watching Pokemon on super early in the morning. Like, I always remember that. I always remember it because I always think how many of these kids now are still following it. One, it's me. Not just talking about the series, I mean the series in general, but the anime. Like, how many people are still following it? How many people still know Ash Ketchum is still going? I always think about that. Like, I just picture that scene of all of us watching around the TV, like this huge group, and like I'm probably the only one that's still following Ash's journey, even though I missed this week's. But yeah, that's pretty much it. I mean, it always has been kind of a constant. Like, I played the card game, like at like little local leagues here when it first came out, and then I stopped for quite a while, and then there was like a random resurgence around when Ruby and Sapphire came out, where because our local card place that I used to play at didn't do League after that for a long time, and they did focus on Yu-Gi-Oh! and they had Dragon Ball and then like all their Magic and Dungeons and Dragons other stuff. But like in Ruby and Sapphire there was like a random resurgence for like maybe 6 or 7 months or something, and then it kind of died off again. So I'll still buy a pack here and there, but it's mainly the video game and like the show and stuff for me. But like, I can never picture not playing the video game. Like, it's just such a staple in my life. Like, you go through the various kicks, but...
I was so young at the time that... I mean, I remember times before it, but... I was... Came out in 98. So I would have been 9 at the time they came out. I wasn't even technically supposed to own a Pokemon yet. So...
Awaiting that age of 10.
But so I mean I was really young at the time, and I mean I like I said I remember times before, particularly with like early Power Rangers and stuff, but it's ever since it came out, it's been that one consistent thing that I've always enjoyed in my life that hasn't been like Nintendo video games, like just in general. It's been like that one franchise that I always stuck with, and I think it'll just always be like that, honestly. Like, I don't ever foresee a time where I'm not doing something or interested in something relating to Pokemon. Like, I just can't see that ever happening. And, like, I say countless times, it's the one franchise that if I had to pick, it would be the one that I stick with forever. Sorry,
it's just like this it's just like this really great staple. Like, I'll go through these kicks like now where I'm the kicks usually happen when a game comes out, but like randomly other kicks like now. I guess the game's about to come out. Regardless, there'll be random times where I'll just get kicks where I really want to play it, but it's just something I always enjoy with the game. And it's like this excitement that there's so many things that I still follow from when I was younger. But like with Pokemon, it's one of those few things that can get me excited still on this weird level, like when I was a kid. Like when new starters come out. I remember thinking that when XY starters were revealed, how excited I was. It was like the same level as when I was little and I first saw like the Johto Pokemon and stuff. And like how it was super exciting to see new Pokemon.
The fucking Johto was like the biggest fucking thing in my life at the time. Because it was that time where Pokemon was so big that random ass stores was getting like Japanese, was getting, that was weird ass English, were getting like Japanese Pokemon stuff. So like GameStop, and it wasn't GameStop at the time, it was Electronics Boutique.
EB Games.
Yeah, they would have like Japanese Pokemon figures. And so I would buy those all the time and some model kits. And there was some card shops in my mall that would get Japanese Pokemon cards. And so like on the way to Gen 2, because Gen 2 had been out like already about half a year or so in Japan at the time. So like I would get some like Japanese Gen 2 cards and like card sets. And like I wasn't super into digging on the internet at the time because of how young I was. So like I would have this like pamphlet that came with the little binder set that had a bunch of the new Gen 2 Pokemon in it. And so like me and my friend are just staring at this thing, like trying to think of names for them because they didn't have English names. And like just the mind blow feeling when like Don Phan is in the movie theater for the first time.
Yeah, it was pretty crazy. Like, I think that's why Johto is so special to so many people. Yeah. I mean, not even just that the game is unique for having Kanto and stuff. But just because, especially since the anime and everything stressed 150, fucking PokéRap, like 150 Pokemon, there's 150 Pokemon, 151 with Mew. And then it's like all of a sudden there's all these new Pokemon, and it was just so exciting between, like you said, the cards and then the games and seeing bits in the anime. Like there's still something uniquely special about that. And in some way there'll never be something quite that exciting in terms of new Pokemon, but like I said, still, when there's new starters in particular, this level of excitement I get for a new batch of Pokemon that some certain things just you can't recapture. Mm-hmm. Like there's a lot of various franchises, Power Rangers included, in a lot of ways that I'll still get excited for them, but like I can't think of another one that'll still give me that childlike excitement of seeing new Pokemon. Not like Johto level, but still. But yeah, Johto was definitely a unique thing. I remember being so stoked with the Johto Journeys anime, and it was a time. Do you remember those? They used to make them for lots of different things. They had one for Pokemon, Yu-Gi-Oh, and I think Dragon Ball. Maybe other things I didn't follow, but they're called Beckett Collectors. Do you remember those?
Oh, yeah, God, yes.
Yeah, I have so many
of
those.
I got, like, all of them. Like, because I would buy the Pokemon one, and when I got in the Yu-Gi-Oh, I'd get the Yu-Gi-Oh one and the Dragon Ball one that they were doing.
Like, yeah, they all had the time. So many of them, and there was one that came out around the Johto time. I don't know how close it was. It was definitely before the game hit here, but it was, like, close-ish because they had the names and stuff, and it had, like, this few-page spread of, like, all the Johto Pokemon, and that copy in particular is so worn out because I was just always looking at them. Now I'm always remembering all those Beckett issues, and I remember Dragon Ball used to do these special ones that were, like a thicker cover and like had more stuff in them, and I was always hunting after them. I wonder what ever happened to that magazine. Magazines just stopped being made. The internet happened.
It's like, no one reads magazines anymore. Then you go to Barnes & Noble and they still got a fucking wall of magazines. I'm like, why are they still here?
But yeah, that was a cool thing too, those little Beckett collectors.
I got Pojo all the time, too. Did you go buy Pojo?
That sounds familiar. I don't know. I bet I have a couple of those.
It was kind of the same thing, except I think Pojo focused more on the cards.
Yeah, I think I have a couple of those, but like I did mainly more have the Beckett things. Which is really weird. I'm thinking of Kate Beckett from Castle, but like now that I'm saying it. But yeah. Johto. Pokemon Johto.
Oh god, the kick's gonna start all over again, isn't it?
You're still on it. You can't have a double kick.
Why not? It's a move.
I know, I just thought of I can't wait to get a Johto. Hurry up, Leaf Green. It should be easy. Cantle's just a square.
Yeah.
It's funny, like, playing through it, as much as I hate to admit it, there is this slight level of nostalgia, because I think I probably played that one more than anything, because, like, you restart it so many times when you're a kid. So it's like, you memorize so much more of it. Like, you know, Pewter City and Mount Moon, all that stuff. And there's still enjoyable things to be had in Kanto, but it's crazy how simple it is compared to the later ones, even though, like, I'm not the hugest fan of Sinnoh, but, like, even those is, like, there seems more depth to certain things, more beauty to some of the cities, and even, like, looking through the Pokemon, it's kind of crazy how many, or how little I would consider some of the original 150 to be part of, like, my favorites compared to 2, 3, 4, 5, and 6. They had so much cooler designs for me.
Yeah.
Like, there's still some I really like in Gen 1, but it's just, like, in terms of the amount when you're just looking through them.
I absolutely love the people that are like, Pokemon's running out of ideas, all these new ones suck. Gen 1's the best. I'm like, Voltorb is a fucking ball.
I know, right?
Execute is just a bunch of eggs.
There was just a pile of magnet.
Come on, guys.
There was literally two different piles of goop. Granted, one of them transformed into other Pokemon, but still. Ditto is like a pink blotch with a face on it. That's his design.
But Gen 1 had the best designs.
So the series was the best, man. The gym leaders, the gameplay, Mewtwo.
The gameplay where everything was like half rigged and the typing matchups were stupid.
The Signo. Oh god, that's another reason I didn't want to go back and do Red and Blue original for my playthrough, because of how many like random little handicaps that you don't think about. Like the inventory is like a main one. That's why I was annoyed at last time I played through Yellow and Blue. But like there's no physical special, and like every time I fight a Magnemite, I pull out a fire type thinking it's gonna help. I forget Steel doesn't exist.
And then if you're playing Gen 1, like the physical and special, I mean special itself is one category. It's not special attack and special defense, and then instead of like attacks being physical or special, like types are physical or special. it's a mess. Like,
yeah, it's like so different from any of the others, especially if you play them more often. And what's the other thing? I guess I'm still currently in the mode where I forget there's a fairy type, so like that doesn't trip me up. So I'm not like sending out Clefairy and be like, oh, it's a fairy type.
That trips me up when I'm playing X, Y, or Oras, just because like I still haven't quite memorized what fairy's weak to and what's resistant to.
Yeah,
I just kind of wing it and hope it works.
Like when I finished the last bit of Ruby or Omega Ruby, I forgot my Azumarill was part fairy, which came in handy in a couple situations. But Azumarill, I like, it
became pretty beastly, honestly.
But it's just funny how like when I play the older games, I forget that Dark and Steel didn't exist, but like in the new ones, I keep forgetting fairy is a thing. But yeah, there's just a bunch of different things that just don't exist. Like, seriously, with the inventory, struggle's real. Kids don't know. You only had a good childhood if you had to deal with shitty inventory space that not only could go full, but you didn't have different pockets. Oh, man. Pokemon's really come a long way, hasn't it?
Yes. I mean, we're up to 722 Pokemon now.
And counting. Okay, we could have even more by the time this week rolls around.
By the time this episode comes up, if they reveal anyone new at this announcement.
Pretty excited for like whatever it is, just because I'm ready for a new Pokemon game, even though it took me forever to beat Omega Ruby.
I know the Direct's only 5 minutes, and so I know they're not going to reveal a whole lot, but like just the entire thought.
Yeah, it'll at least give us something. It gives us the fact they're doing a Direct for it, and, you know. It's going to be something significant. Alright.
I need it to be Friday now.
We're close. It's Thursday. But I guess that's about it for...
I don't want to skip, though, because I want to watch Legends of Tomorrow.
Oh, yeah. Definitely don't want to skip. Unless you have your DVR, and then you can be on Friday and then get the Pokemon Direct and then watch Legends of Tomorrow. Is this going to be the Arrow episode? We got Black Arrow and... you know, there's going to be a Black Deathstroke. Everything's black in the future. Black to the Future. Okay, that was the last one. All right, now it's time for...
Final things!
I have a thingy, and it's not final!
Yawn P3. So, as usual...
I catch that shit in my reviews all the time.
Like, what,
I'm
yawning?
Talking, and I kind of half yawn while still talking. And just hope that no one notices.
I think I pulled that off pretty well. But like usual, we pretty much covered everything in the pre-final thingies. But I mentioned before, I appreciate there's like a decent chunk of questions. So you can also obviously keep sending in questions. And it's nice to have a pool of decent ones to choose from. But yeah, that's about it.
Again, huge thanks to Kiefer for starting to put together these best of videos.
Yeah,
like,
they're really entertaining.
One side remark about wanting you to publish a book led you to make videos. It's almost the same thing. It's close enough.
Like, you did all right. I mean, I was hoping for a
book, but
get on that, like one of those flawed nerd books with pictures. With pictures, like I'm a kid.
Speaking of pictures, I love the fact that when we like talk about a post or something, or like the VR Troopers pictures, he'll put the picture up on the video.
Oh yeah, my absolute favorite thing though is the credits runaround and the listing of the credits. Jedimon as Dawson Rider, like it was just perfect. Like the runaround killed me as soon as they heard din din din. I died. Oh, so good. You run around. Best song of all time.
We all do the run around. Burr.